It's time for Windows Weekly. Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley are here. We've got lots to talk about. Big Windows updates, Patch Tuesday updates. We'll talk about the Microsoft ban. We'll talk about, well, everything having to do with Microsoft coming up next on Windows Weekly.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Windows Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Windows Weekly with Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley. Episode 465, recorded Wednesday, May 11th, 2016. Sunrise, sunset. Windows Weekly is brought to you by Carbonite. Keep your business safe this year. Protect files on your computer or server with automatic cloud backup from Carbonite. Try it free without a credit card at Carbonite.com today. And use the offer code Windows and you'll get 2 free bonus months when you decide to buy. And by FreshBooks, the super simple cloud accounting software that's giving thousands of freelancers and small businesses the tools to save time billing and get paid faster. Try it free at FreshBooks.com/Windows. And by Audible.com. To download the free audiobook of your choice, go to Audible.com/Windows. This is the grown-ups table, ladies and gentlemen. It's time for Windows Weekly, the show where we talk about the latest from Microsoft. Paul Thurrott from Thurrott.com. Mary Jo Foley from AllAboutMicrosoft.com. A good Wednesday morning. Actually, afternoon to you guys, to you both.
Yep.
How are you? Nice to see you.
Same.
Everybody's home now.
I can't see you, Leo.
You don't want to see me, believe me. Everybody's home now, right?
It's like sideways, right. Like this. Yes. Can see you. Look at him over there.
I'm over there. I'm to your left and to your right.
Like down there on the little screen.
Hey, Paul, I'm down here. Hey.
Little Leo Laporte.
Hey. So let's see. I've got just checking in, build 14342.rs1_release.160506-1708. Sir.
Sounds about right.
Okay.
You're up to date.
I am up to date. We got an update for Insider Ring, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we got, of course, the Patch Tuesday updates yesterday.
That's right. Yep.
And
you wouldn't actually get those on the same computer, but yes.
No, right. Actually, I meant to ask you about that now that I'm back.
You know, it's confusing.
On the Insider Ring.
Yep.
I am secure, though, right? I mean, if there's a security patch, they've applied it.
Yeah. I mean, in many ways, the cumulative updates that come out every month are things that were in the Insider program earlier.
Got it.
And probably not always, but
I think they're exploit patches that are probably, but they would send those everywhere.
Yeah.
All right. So I don't have to worry about that. Mm-mm. And the reason, of course, I went to the Insider Fast Ring is I wanted my Bash shell.
Well, Leo,
didn't
you're going to be
happy.
We're
this not
build.
Using that word.
I'm sorry. I have to. Every time I hit the start menu and I see the Ubuntu logo, I go, what?
So this feature was actually updated in the recent build, the one you just installed. And I maybe this is not a new name, but just the way it's presented, it seemed kind of interesting to me. It is referred to as Bash on Ubuntu on Windows.
Yeah, exactly. And that's, like I said, what?
Yeah, I think
remember
that's the way
scene in the Game of Thrones when Jon Snow got stabbed to death?
Yeah, and then came back.
That's what that is.
Or maybe didn't. Maybe, I don't know what happened, really. Could have come back. Might have. Don't know. Not saying.
No, I won't ruin it for you, Leo, but suffice to say, the show continues.
Yes, and Linux desktop Linux is far from dead. It has a few gaping wounds. This is not Linux, and this is what's really Linux. Confusing and frankly makes me not like Ubuntu for saying this because it implies that it's Ubuntu, but it's not. It's Ubuntu on Windows. I guess that's why the naming, right?
Mm-hmm. Why just call it Bash? Can we just call it Bash?
Well,
why does it need this?
I'm wondering if it implies that there will be more. Oh, now my mouse is moving by itself. Oh, I don't like that when that happens. Really don't like that. Oh, look. Oh, this is funny. I can throw it now. Apparently, there's some ballistics added to my mouse. Is this part of the new, is this the new update here we're talking about, Paul? Where I move it and it just keeps moving?
Oh, I've had laptops do that. The trackpad.
I guess
something.
It's stopped now. Oh no! Oh, there. Is there a booger on my trackpad? Is that it?
Maybe it's possessed.
Maybe it's the fact that it sees Bash running and it goes, "Oh,
yep, it's running away."
Get away! This is a mouse.
Remember the mouse?
There's
you don't need that.
You don't need a mouse. Yeah, so I guess my question is, does this imply that it will be more at some point than just Bash? Mm. Ubuntu on Windows sounds like more than just a command line.
Yeah, I didn't take it that way. I took it more as they want to make it clear that they worked with Ubuntu, or probably Ubuntu wants it clear.
Well, yeah.
They were the ones who worked with them.
Right.
Yeah, that could
like
be.
Like a branding thing, kind of. Yeah.
Yep. I mean, it's just Ubuntu Bash. I don't know. It's such a ponderous name.
It is.
Yeah. And it's so
in fact,
weird
it's so ponderous.
To see it in my start menu. It's just very strange. I don't know if I'll get used to it. But I like it. I'm not saying I don't like it. I immediately put Emacs and Lisp on here just so that I would feel at home. I'd feel like I was back in the 60s.
Thousand cuts, Leo.
Moving along. No Windows 10 upgrade for you. This answers the question that has been on our minds for a year.
Or does it?
Oh, no.
Yeah, let's talk
what?
About that.
Oh, no. Okay.
Mary Jo has a story.
I do.
Tell us a story, Mary Jo.
So the day this news came out, which it was kind of couched in the form of a blog post about Windows 10 hitting the 300 million active device mark. Paul was in Seattle. I was on my way to a meeting at Microsoft in New York, and we both found out about this, and we both came away with very different takes on what this blog post meant. I asked Microsoft when I heard about it. I said, okay, so does this mean you are drawing a line in the sand and saying the free upgrade offer ends July 29th, that's it? And then they told me that morning, no, it doesn't mean that.
Huh.
It doesn't mean that. It means we hit 300 million devices and we're not definitively saying whether we're going to continue this or not, in spite of how the wording was in the blog post. Then a few hours later, they called me and said, actually, we want to change the statement we gave you.
Oh.
Well, this might have been, we had sort of debated this a little bit online on Twitter.
On Twitter, right?
Yeah. You know, people don't like to see mommy and daddy fighting, so it was a tough day for a couple people. But
were you fighting? Were you two fighting?
No, we're not really fighting. But she had written, you know, I don't know if it was a headline of the blurb, but sort of said something like, well, we don't know if this is it. And I said, well, they very definitively told me this was it. And if you look at their post, it very specifically says in explicit terms, you know, multiple times, this is the end.
Right. Then I said, read the statement they just gave me. They say the opposite to me.
Oh,
right?
Lord.
But then they did change their statement to say this is the definitive end of the free upgrade.
What did they want you to say that they retracted?
They gave me a statement that said, let me find it. The free upgrade promotion is currently slated to end on July 29th, which gives them that little opening.
Yes.
Right?
Currently slated.
Yes.
Right. So I said, okay, so then you're saying you might change your mind between now and July 29th. Right? So that's how I took it. And then they changed it to it is ending on July 29th.
They didn't want you to have that out.
Well, it was weird because I asked them and that was the statement they gave me. So
interesting. Yeah.
So do we think it really is going to end on July 29th? I do now.
Do you? Yeah, you do.
Yep, I do.
Because one could make the case that, they just want to scare people, more people, into installing Windows 10 now. Right. And then they'll say, you know, you guys, you love it so doggone much.
Right.
Maybe we'll just keep it free for a little longer.
Right.
How about one more month? Okay, just one more month. And then next month, one more month, like that.
Yeah.
So, humorously, I now do not believe that they're going to end this on July 29th.
You don't?
You've gone back.
Because I think what's going to happen is, first of all, it's sort of like that scene from Princess Bride where the guy's trying to figure out which one is the, the poison, and he goes back and forth through all the permutations.
Right,
and
then if you thought this was the poison and you thought I knew that this was the poison, you probably wouldn't put some poison in this cup. You'd think that I would want to swap the cups, but then, of course, you could think ahead.
So obviously, this is the one without the poison.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So,
by the way, that did not work out well.
No. Great scene, though. I don't actually know about July 29th, per se, but I've often thought with this free update that there's no reason not to just continue this, because of all the systems out there in the world that already, you know, that qualify for the upgrade, the majority of them that were going to be upgraded have been upgraded, right?
Right.
And that the reason you might pull this offer is because it's harming the PC industry, right? Because supposedly PC makers are not selling PCs because Windows 10 is free. I don't believe that. And I don't think Mary Jo does either. Yeah, right. We don't actually really believe that that's happening. But you know, just a sort of a gesture toward the PC makers, they could say, hey, you know, okay, when I'm not hurting you anymore, you know, the free upgrade's gone. I just don't think it impacts anybody to leave it out there. In fact, all it really does is help that small number of people who somewhere down the road, they want to install Windows again. And remember that, like, one of the weird things that will happen if they end this, that absolutely will happen, is people will go to do a clean install of their the OS, and it will not auto-activate. And then what happens? This has happened in the past. Remember, during this past year, they've kind of released eased the restrictions on licensing. They made it possible to take a Windows 7 key and activate with that. Supposedly, your active, you know, the fact that this machine has been activated against Windows 10 is up in some cloud somewhere. But realistically, real world, people have activated it and then gone back to reinstall, and it will not activate. And I think
not many people have had that.
No, that's what I mean. It's a small number, but it's the type of people you don't want to really burn, you know?
Who? Like enterprise?
People like me. No, like technical you. People, enthusiasts.
The early adopters and the influencers.
Yeah, I just don't think that getting rid of the free upgrade solves any problems, whereas I think getting rid of it actually causes some problems.
I would agree with you.
So my guess why they're going to do it, and I actually do think they are going to do it, and I don't think it's because they're hurting OEMs. I think that's a fallacy that OEMs are perpetuating because think about this. How many people realistically out of the 1.5 billion Windows users out there actually do an upgrade?
Very few.
It brings
it back to truth, which is you're buying a new computer to get a new computer.
Right, exactly. You're not buying it because, I want Windows 10.
Nobody
That's not
does
why people
that.
Buy that.
No. It's part of, it's a kind of a, it's a part of the features, the benefits of it. Yeah. Oh, you have an old Windows XP computer. Well, now you're not only going to get a shiny new hardware, but you're going to get the shiny new software.
Right.
But they're going to get that. And it's not like, you know, it's the same. People wouldn't do it just because it's Windows 10.
No. But the thing that I do think is going on is I think they've hit the point of diminishing returns, because if you look at what's been happening lately with the free upgrade, people are complaining that they're being auto-updated. You have that thing that happened with that Weather Channel where suddenly everybody's laughing because it's being updated, right? And so now, is it actually helping or hurting Microsoft to have this free upgrade?
I mean, why not just take that away? that would solve all of the problems.
You could take away
the stupid prompt. Right. That you can't say
How
no
about that?
To.
We're just not going to tell anybody there's a free upgrade.
It's almost like the focus here is not on the right audience, right? That what Microsoft should be focusing on is the customer experience.
Yeah.
And what they're focusing on instead is something else. I don't know.
Join the
PC maker relations.
This is a virus spreading like wildfire through the entire technology industry right now. Is suddenly what used to be the goal was customer-centric. And it is absolutely now dump on your customers because it's good business and it's a short-term dumb idea. And Apple does it. Everybody's doing it.
By the way, I might talk about this more in the future and in the near future, but this is the crap we're on PCs thing. It's the short-term gain with a complete lack of understanding about the long-term implications of what you've just done to these people who were potentially loyal customers before. Right. And next time are going to start thinking about doing other things because of the bad experience they just had.
It's little
you know,
things.
I think the like, way you know, I buy an Apple TV and it won't run Amazon, not because it can't, but because Apple doesn't want a competitor on their Apple TV. That doesn't benefit the customer. That's not customer-centric. That's Apple business-centric. And it and it hurts the product. And there, you see it everywhere now. Everywhere. Yeah. And it's very it's very disconcerting because I come from an era in computing where one of the promises of it was companies were now going to be customer-centric.
Sure.
I think, you know, I think it did help customers to have the free upgrade offer in place for the year because people who did want Windows 10 got it, right? Now
300 million, by the way, is the latest
maxed out now, right? Like, okay, you've hit that audience and probably even more than would have done it otherwise. And now you're moving to a different part of the marketing campaign, which is people who will buy devices that have it preloaded and they're going to start talking that up more, right? That's my
That's
guess.
Fine, but I just leave it there. I mean, you know, if because, 6 months from now someone running Windows 7 decides they want to upgrade to Windows 10, how does that hurt anybody?
Yeah, I don't think it hurts, but, you know, it gives them one more source of income, right?
Think about it
Not
this
many
way,
people
too.
Are going to buy it, but...
But the so in other words, you mentioned the someone mentioned the $1.5 billion figure, which, by the way, hasn't been updated in a long time. You have to wonder if that's still the case, but let's say $1.5 billion. One of the reasons you want people to go to Windows 10 is so that you have a single code base to update with security updates. But also you have a single more modern and secure code base, right, than is possible, say, with Windows 7 in particular and with Windows 8 maybe to a lesser extent. Isn't it better for the ecosystem for that computer that's sitting out there that maybe otherwise wouldn't be upgraded to be upgraded? Doesn't that benefit all of us? I mean, why... Why would we want to put a stop to that?
Yeah.
It just seems like a strange rationalization.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But all of this aside, I think this is the end of the promotion.
Yeah.
I don't think people should, like, I'm getting a lot of reader mail
delay for sure.
Yeah. Oh, people are like, I'm playing chicken. I know I'm going to not
that?
Upgrade.
I don't understand that at all.
That's
you
dumb.
Mean, if you can upgrade, upgrade, roll back, and now you've got the upgrade anytime you want it.
Run a backup. You could also, by the way, if you were technical enough, do a dual boot.
There you go.
Install it in a separate partition on the same computer. That would achieve the same goal of getting that.
Machine
ID up there.
Let me ask you, Paul. Mm-hmm. Is it not the case that if I accepted the upgrade and installed and activated Windows 10 on my PC, and then the next day took advantage of the rollback and went back to Windows whatever A7 or 8? Right. That at any point now, even, well, this is a good question. After July 29th,
you're right. What you're saying
I've activated Windows 10. I have an entitlement now on this PC to Windows 10.
That's right.
That will not be retracted, right? That's going
to. So, two things to that. This is the issue I'm talking about, though, where people had done that in the past. When Windows 10 first came out, people upgraded to Windows 10. And then they said, you know what? I think I'm going to wipe this thing out, do a clean install. And then it wouldn't activate, even though that had happened, right? This is what I mean. There's some little mistake up on the cloud where your computer's not registered anymore. And now you've blown away your computer and you're like, well, I don't have my previous product key anymore. You know, how do I fix this? And so they eased the restrictions on that kind of stuff as part of this free promotion. So I'm a little worried about that stepping back. But the other thing for people to remember, because we still, it's funny, you know, we're 9-10 months into this now, whatever. Well, actually we're over a year into it since we first heard about it. The free thing, right? It's not free for a year, right? It's being offered for free during the first year. But the thing, you really got to kind of get this in, I don't mean you, everyone does, kind of get it in their head a little bit about Windows 10 is, however you acquire this thing, it doesn't matter if you got it for free, if you paid for it, if you bought a new PC with it, that thing is there now. It's not, it doesn't become a subscription service. It doesn't become something you have to pay for. It doesn't stop getting updates. Once it's there, it doesn't matter how you acquired it. So it being free doesn't impact its serviceability, its life cycle, or anything
else. No, you have an entitlement now. Basically, Microsoft has a database, right, that it combines information about your system, probably the serial number and BIOS, but who knows. That says to them in their database, yes, Windows 10 entitled on this machine. At any point, you can install Windows 10 again, right? You could wipe the drive. You could put a new drive
technically,
in.
Technically, yes.
Well,
hopefully that doesn't screw up.
Well, we never know, right?
But this is why I always say to people, you got to be really careful about this stuff. If you're going to upgrade to Windows 10, back up backup.
It would behoove you to make an image of it, and then you can
Make sure you have your restore disks. Make sure you know what the product key is for Windows. There are tools to get that information. Have this stuff. You may never need it, you know, but there are so many times along the way where things can go wrong. The upgrade itself may not work. You may not like Windows 10 and want to wipe it out. You may want to roll it back, and that screws up. You may do that clean install later, like I said, and sorry, we can't activate this for some reason. You know, you want to make sure you're covered no matter what happens. It's not that hard to do, but I think for the normal, you know, for typical non-technical users, they would never know to do any of this stuff. And Windows 10 setup certainly doesn't prompt you to do any of it, which is kind of terrible, unfortunately.
Yeah, I was glad you told me to do it. And then you were glad you did it when you were moving to Windows 8 or 8.1, right? And you had to borrow a disk from me because I had a backup.
Yeah, because I blew it away. And it's like, oh, great, now I got a doorstop. Yeah. Well, you have to lose something before you figure it out. I mean, I think, unfortunately, that's how it works. And so I know I'm kind of spitting into the wind here because, you know, everyone, yeah, sure, backup, okay. Yep, set up, boop, yep. You know, and then off you go and roll the dice.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, one thing we haven't mentioned in this whole discussion, which we should, is if you use assistive technologies in Windows 10, like the magnifier, narrator, anything like that, you are actually not going to have to be bound by this end of the free upgrade. You're still going to be able to get the free upgrade.
Right.
That's the one. That's so far the one exception to the deadline date.
See, they've already stepped back from the edge.
Everybody else? Yeah. Yeah. So, we did mention they're removing the Get Windows 10 app from Windows 7 and 8 PCs starting July 29th. And that may take a little while. It's going to probably take some time for them to pull that.
However, in the meanwhile, they're putting it back. In fact, remember Steve Gibson wrote a little program called Never 10 that uses group policy edit, the approved Microsoft technique for turning off GWX. And then Microsoft just like this week pushed a hot fix that
of course they did.
And I'm sure that was overrode their own
completely
fix.
Customer focused. It's
thank you, customers. We love you. You know, you really ought to upgrade to Windows.
That didn't override Steve Gibson's thing, did it?
I think it did.
Oh, jeez, really?
I think what he said yesterday. Correct me, Chami, if I'm wrong, because he did it the right way, not like the GWX control panel, which has to be always updated because it's working around it. He did what his app is very simple. It makes the group policy edit changes in the registry, and that's supposed to work. And the reason is it should continue to work is because enterprises use that. No, don't bug us with this. And apparently he's saying they've overridden the GPE changes.
Listen, the day that this stupid promotional advertisement disappears is going to be like VJ day around here.
Yeah, I mean, maybe, but you're still stuck with Microsoft, the company that brought you GWS.
Well, we're still stuck with Japan too. So
the people who brought you GWX.
Yeah, sure. Yep. It's a new kind of Skype.
It did not. They're saying it did not break Never 10. Okay. Unclear. Somebody in the chat room is saying this. I'm pretty sure that's what Steve said. But anyway, be aware.
I installed Never 10. I used it.
Yeah, good. Well, you'll know. You can tell us next week.
So far, so good.
Okay, good. So maybe it didn't. They did push out a hot fix that changed how this all.
Yeah.
They put GWX back effectively. But apparently.
You know, we kind of skipped over this, by the way, as part of that build that came out, well, actually, I guess that build is later in the notes. Never mind.
We'll get there.
Never mind.
Microsoft may, it's perfectly possible, have never intended, they always said for 1 year, they may never have intended to go back to stay free forever, right?
Maybe. A lot of us were betting they were going to just kind of drop the thing and say, hey, guess what? We're going to do it for another year because it was so successful.
In other words, they announced the free thing. It's so exciting. A year later, they say, you know what? We're going to do it forever. It's so exciting. There is kind of precedent for what they're doing, right? I always kind of point back to that Windows 7 Family Pack, I think it was called. And I believe the deal was for $150, you could get three licenses to Windows 7 Home Premium, right?
Yeah, that was a good deal.
I remember that. Yeah, it was a great deal. And they did it over the course of one holiday season. And they said it was temporary, and when it ran out, it ran out, and it did. And I thought, there's no way they're going to get rid of this. It's so popular. And they got rid of it. And then they actually did bring it back, though, about a year later, again, temporarily. And then that was the end of that. They did it twice, I think.
Mm-hmm. So Steve's logged into chat, so he'll let us know. But the chat room seems to think that Never 10 does continue to work.
Good. I hope so.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it that Mary Jo's using it.
I am. I had a little scare on my Windows 7 machine at one point where I saw Windows 10 was checked that it was going to auto update. And I was like, wait, oh.
Ooh, wow.
I don't want that.
Yeah, Steve's program also deletes the 3 gigabytes or more of Windows 10 install content. So it's worth, it probably is worth
getting.
But
what else are you going to do with that hard drive space?
You don't need 3 gigs. And actually, apparently it also expands it. It's really getting ready. And expands it, and it's then this like 6 gigabytes. It's like,
oh wow! Right.
Okay, we're ready anytime. Just let us say okay. Just say okay. Yeah.
We're preparing to install.
But to their credit, the hotfix update created some anecdotal reports, says Steve, but nothing reproducible, and not a single report from any Never 10 users. There's the official word from Steve Gibson.
Good.
Thank you, Steve. And by the way, Steve, I'm very well rested. You'll know what that means. I'm taking Steve's. You didn't know that Steve's gotten in the health business.
Leo, would you please stop taking personal calls during the show?
Personal chat's not allowed. 300 million. It was a success. 300 million. And Microsoft says active Windows 10 users. That means people who are excellent. Running it, right?
Yeah, these are machines hitting their server, you know, Windows Update store.
That's a lot.
Within the last 28 days. Yeah.
How many. So does this put it now in the majority or no? Probably not.
No.
There's billion Windows users, right?
Well, if 1.5 billion is correct, it's 1/5 of all computers, right? Wow.
But also this number, this grand Windows 10 number, it also includes Xbox One consoles because they have Windows 10 inside Windows phones.
Yeah,
Windows phones.
That's de minimis, though. Both, there's not that many of either of those.
Yeah, and realistically speaking.
HoloLens is included.
Okay, but that's 7 devices.
I know,
so,
it's tiny.
I mean, this is, I think we're talking 270 plus million are Windows PCs.
Yeah, that's about right.
Easily.
Yeah. That's still, it's mind boggling. It's mind boggling.
Well, but you know what? Remember they had that goal, right? We're going to hit 1 billion in 2 to 3 years. The run rate on this OS in the most recent month was about 23, 24 million units. Let's give them 25. That's we got June and July, 50 million there. That's 270, 320. That's 320. That's less than 1/3 of the way to the goal, 1/3 of the way through the time period they've said. Mm-hmm. And unless I'm mistaken, there's not going to be some gigantic reversal of the PC market. I don't see. We've already gotten, I think, the majority of people are going to upgrade. Mm. I mean, I'm a little curious how we're going to get to a billion.
Well, enterprises haven't upgraded. And, you know, when they upgrade, it's like multiple hundreds of thousands of machines or more at a time. So a lot of them are right now in pilot.
Okay, that's interesting. So this first year was a way to get consumers on board in a big lump sum and that the next 2 years will be comprised of enterprise upgrades or enterprise migrations or whatever they're doing.
Right. So that could really push it quite a bit.
I'm curious. It's very easy to do the math. You know, every time they release a number, you can look at it and see how it's changed, right? And it was flat, I think, over the last two announcements. It went up just a hair compared to the previous quarter when they just announced the 300 million number. Mm-hmm. When they say, I'm sure they'll have something around the 1 year anniversary, they'll have stuff in the fall, January next year, whatever it is. We're always going to be able to know how it's doing, right? I mean, compared to how it had done in the past. I'm really curious to see how this goes.
Mm-hmm. The other category of things, it'll be interesting to kind of try to figure out how it's impacting is IoT devices, right?
Right. Because they're giving that away on Raspberry Pi. I don't know if that's.
Yeah. So that's going to add in. And also not just those kind of devices, but even like industrial devices, machines, sensors that have Windows 10.
Yeah.
Right.
Sure.
They're counting embedded, I presume, as well.
They are.
Yeah. All versions of Windows 10. Okay.
Yeah. So I think they're going to hit the mark. By 2018.
Yeah. Okay. I mean,
are you iffy on that? Like
reason I'm iffy on it is, companies don't say stuff like that unless they're very secure. Right. Because what a huge disaster it would be if they didn't make this.
Right.
To the point where I thought, they're kind of hedging their bets a little bit here. 2 to 3 years. They didn't say a specific time frame. And I was thinking at the time, it's going to be a lot closer to 2 than it is to 3. And I think the thing that's changed for me now watching this unroll over this past, wherever we're at now, 9, 10 months, is it's a little slower than I thought it was going to be. Mm. Remember we always talked about Windows 7, 20 million licenses sold per month, every month, consistently over almost exactly 3 years.
Right.
Now, Microsoft massaged those numbers to make it even, obviously. Yeah. But Windows 10, which they're describing accurately enough, I think, as the most popular uptick, all that kind of stuff, is really not that much higher than that. 23, 24 million, like I said, that's up a little bit. I think it was like 22 million in the previous quarter. That's not that impressive, given the fact that the PC market, well, I guess it's contracted, but I mean, the available slate of devices has expanded dramatically. I mean, we're still looking mostly at PCs. I don't know. It just seems like it should be higher.
Yeah.
It's a lot of machines. I mean, don't get me wrong. 300 million is 300 million. Yeah. And we're talking about less than a year. That is very impressive. I mean, if you look at the numbers on things like Office 365, which should have a much easier adoption, those numbers are very low compared to this. I don't mean to say it's bad. It's just, I guess I'm just thinking because of the billion figure, it just seemed like it might be higher after a year, that they kind of went all out to make it happen. And they got, we'll see what they get, but let's say 350 or whatever it might be.
You know what number I forget, and you may recall this, what percentage of people get their operating systems through upgrades?
So they haven't talked about this in a long time.
I know. But it used to be really small, right?
Really small, like way smaller than I think most people would suspect.
Right.
If
it's similar now to that, then that also will be figuring into their calculations. Like this 300 million is mostly people doing the upgrades, right?
Yes. And that's changing, right? In other words, what you're saying, and I think you're correct, is that in the very beginning, what you're going to get are a bunch of upgrades. It's unusual. Right. Well, actually, you always get a bunch of upgrades. But I mean, this was probably unusually big because of the free upgrade offer.
Right.
And then that kind of peters out. Like I said, I think most of the machines that were going to be upgraded are upgraded. So it settles into what is probably the normal percentages, the ratio, whatever it might be, and it's something like 95% to 5%. It's a very extreme ratio, for upgrades versus all other means of acquiring Windows.
Right. So I think if you figure that in too, that means the bulk of people who are going to be moving to it aren't in this first group; they're in the next wave.
Yeah, and if you look at even if PC sales were to fall to the 250 to 280 million level per year, most of those would be Windows 10 computers, obviously, unless they're sold to businesses and rolled back. But let's say most of them probably are Windows 10. We're still talking 200 to 250 million per year. That's 400 to 500 million over the next 2 years. It's still not a billion, but I guess we have to add in all those other devices. Maybe that's how they do it.
Such a nice round triple comma number. Let's just give it to him. It's close
enough. Let's just give it to him.
300 million.
Well, I mean, I am very curious. I'll tell you, when they do hit this number, there's going to be a lot of questions. What are these computers or these machines, right? Mm-hmm. I mean,
that's the problem with using this number is it's, come on. Yeah. You're going to count embedded systems?
I'd love to know.
You're going to count my doorbell?
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah, I think.
Of course they are.
It's like when Apple released a new version of Mac OS X and they would count every new font as a new feature. Remember? They used to do that.
Yeah.
It's exactly like that. We're counting hanging chads here. We want as many as we can get.
Yeah. That's actually a good point. The feature thing, right? So the people who've upgraded so far, they're using Windows 10 on some machines that are capable of taking advantage of the new features. Like Hello, right? And there are a lot of people who are using it without that because they don't have machines with with the correct hardware configurations and capabilities. The next wave of people are going to be people who are buying machines because they want some of these things, right? They want Hello to be built in. And so that gives you a much more compelling reason to upgrade. I mean, not to upgrade, but to buy a new machine if you care about those kind of things that you can't get by upgrading.
Right? You know what? I think you actually kind of nailed it before, because I look at this like cars. I don't think people are looking for specific car features. Like I mean, sometimes they do, obviously, but you buy a new car and it's like, oh, it has a backup camera. That's really cool. You know, I'm happy to have that now. Whereas before, with the whatever vehicle they were driving, it was just what it was. And they never really, most people, I mean, obviously they're a car enthusiast and all that kind of stuff. But I think for a lot of people, it's like you just drive the car and 5 years goes by, whatever amount of time, and you trade it in and you're like, oh, look at this. Now they have this in the car. That's cool. Maybe it's CarPlay. Yeah, maybe it's, you know,
I
whatever.
Think this stuff, though, is not aimed at users as much as, well, it's obviously aimed at you guys, but it's also aimed at developers to encourage them to take advantage of Windows 10's features. Mm-hmm. So, Mary Jo, your point is salient because, well, maybe not Windows Hello, but let's say DirectX 12 or whatever it is.
Yeah.
If many of these computers can't run that, then you really wouldn't want to count them as a developer. I'm not going to write a game to that platform, right?
Mm-hmm. Since we are going down this rabbit hole, I think I would actually, now that I'm kind of thinking through it, this might also help explain Mary Jo's notion that the July 29th date is final, which is, you want to shut off the free upgrade thing because there are some huge number of computers out there that can't take advantage of some new Windows 10 features. And that the way to bolster that number for developers to ensure that some huge percentage of the users are, in fact, using new computers that have the hardware, whether it's Windows Hello or what else. I don't even know what else requires new hardware. I guess there's only a few things, but.
Well, some of the new things that are coming in the anniversary update, like the Windows Ink, which, you know, you expect to have a pen with your system.
There you go.
Right.
Yeah. There you go.
But I guess from the point of view of UWP, the Universal Windows Platform, this we care about. This number, this 300 million or a billion we care about.
Yeah.
Well, by the way, I mean, just from the perspective of games, 300 million, not all of those people are going to be gamers. Not all of them are even running computers. But let's just say there's some percentage that can run these things. I mean, this is a platform. That's a much bigger platform than the PlayStation 4, than the Xbox One. I mean, any console. The PlayStation 3 and the Xbox 360 sold just north of 80 million units each, I think. That's probably not the size of the user base. It's probably smaller than that at its peak, but whatever it was, 60 to 80 million. 300 million is a way bigger number than those, way bigger. So even if it's a small percentage of people that might take advantage of it, it's still a bigger market.
Also, I have to consider that Microsoft's business is no longer selling Windows particularly.
Right.
Yeah, I heard that.
You know, or selling software particularly. It's selling services, right?
Right.
Sure.
I mean, admittedly, they sell hardware and they sell software, but selling services is really the future for Microsoft. Right. So in that light, actually, I would keep giving it away, right?
I would too. But remember, I don't remember what it was. It was Yusuf Mehdi, I think, was the one who wrote it. But there was a post about a week ago. We talked about it last week. But he referred to Windows 10. I don't remember what it was. I'm sorry. But it was he referred to it as this gigantic online service.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, what? I mean, it's a really curious way of referring to a desktop operating system.
Wow.
Right.
But it kind of shows you where their mindset's at.
Yeah, I mean, they call it Windows as a service now, right? Because they're always updating you.
It's being updated it's being updated like a mobile OS.
Brings back nightmares, though, of the strategy tax, where we don't want to kill a legacy business called Windows, even though really it's not our future selling services. And the people in the Windows division, Terry's not thrilled about giving it away, so for now, we'll charge for it.
But come on, look, this is not the first company that this kind of thing has ever happened to. I mean,
no, Microsoft didn't invent the strategy tax, but they did perfect it.
Yes, they're often a latecomer to new markets. No, I mean, Apple went through this in the 80s with the, you know, they were trying to sell the Mac, but it was the Apple II that was making all the money for the company. I mean, It happens. You know, I think the important thing is, and I think we've talked about this before, is this notion that you have to give them some credit. It would be very easy to double down on your dead strategy of the past. You'd please some small percentage of enthusiasts who can't stand the fact that they're doing mobile apps and other devices, and you would just be flushing yourself down the toilet.
Right.
And so give Microsoft a lot of credit. This kind of turnaround we've seen under Satya Nadella is...
No, I agree.
In many ways, yeah. Unprecedented. It's well, I mean, Apple... you could make the argument Apple did it before too, but for a company like Microsoft, so slow moving historically to do this, it's really, really impressive.
Yeah.
Plus, you know, the next wave of people who are going to get Windows 10, they are going to get it for free, right? Because it's going to be bundled with the hardware.
Yeah.
Sure.
So if anybody ever buys another computer.
Yeah. I mean, it's not.
Yeah.
Is there going to be anybody
Paul and I
who goes.
Are doing our best to keep that business alive.
No, is Listen, anybody going to go to Best Buy? Is anyone going to go to Best Buy and pay $130 for a copy of Windows 10? No.
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 Although, I'll tell you, I mean, I bought a $110 copy of Windows 10 because I needed it for a VM, right? I needed it for a virtual machine.
That group of people who are building their own PCs, system builders, they also will be buying it. But again, the majority are going to get it for free because it's going to be on
I wonder if the majority aren't going to be using Windows in some sort of Hyper-V or a virtual machine going forward that isn't tied to hardware. Then that would be – that's an interesting change in the business.
Yeah, it is.
Like who?
Everybody.
Like me?
In other words
– Oh.
Yeah, in other words
– people like you are going away.
I know we are.
Like the HP is going to do for the Windows phone they're coming out with, you know, the notion that, you know, virtual machines are kind of goofy no matter how they're delivered, right? If you're running them locally or you get them from a data center, because it's a full environment in a window, you can run it full screen. But I think the holy grail of this kind of stuff, if they can figure out the performance and latency issues, is delivering the apps individually.
Enterprise is going to do this. I think this is, you're not going to see enterprise seats. Actually you will, but what you'll see is in this kind of new Hyper-V world. Mm.
The only issue I have with that, though, is that once you've decided that's what the future of this platform is, the platform's dead, right? No one's developing new apps for that platform. I mean, you know, like this is here for legacy reasons, right? The slow-moving corporation can't get off of their old line of business app, and we need to figure out some way to blast it down to the hot new Android or iOS devices they're using. It's neat that will work, and it will work, but it also means that the platform that underlies that thing is over, right?
Well, make it Excel then. Make it something that people do continue to use.
Yeah.
Am I going to look at? I have a bunch of PCs in the office because all of the office operations are on Quicken, QuickBooks, I should say, and Excel, so they have Windows machines. There's no reason going forward that I could very well see us running these in virtualization and from some set data center.
Sure.
I don't know, Mary Jo, you're looking at enterprise all the time. I would say that isn't that kind of.
Yeah, I think for enterprise, but when you said. when you said it, I thought you meant normal people.
Isn't this
surprised.
The business for Microsoft? Normal people are a small fraction of Microsoft's business.
That's true.
And forward. I'm telling everybody on the radio, don't buy a PC or a Mac. You're crazy. That's the old days when you had to buy a general-purpose operating system. Get a Chromebook or get a tablet. Because if you're just running Notepad, Mary Jo, you're nuts to buy. Well, you have to because you cover it. But, I mean, really, if somebody was just writing stuff, why would you buy a general-purpose PC? You don't need all the complexity that's necessary to edit video and to launch rocket ships.
I wrote an editorial about this a couple of weeks ago, right? I mean, this is the, you know, do Apple and Google have the power now to pull the plug on the PC industry? And in many ways, they kind of do. I mean,
they're doing it right now.
Yeah. I think that a lot of what we do is tradition, and we do it without really thinking through why we do it anymore. We just kind of do it, you know? As writers, I don't think we need particularly powerful devices to make that happen. We need good keyboards and screens.
Right.
There are people who, you know, right now you can't develop software applications without a full powered desktop computer.
Yes, of course. There's plenty of specialty uses. If I'm working at NASA, I'm going to have a workstation. But my office people don't need a full PC. Most people, and certainly the consumer that Mary Jo was talking about, it's totally tradition.
Tradition. It's a full circle.
That's all
thing,
you could get.
Back in the 90s, we used to talk about workstations, right?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
You still see occasional thin workstations
clients.
From time to
Here
time.
Come
but
the thin we're,
clients. Yeah. We're kind of going back to that.
And that's what Microsoft sees. Otherwise, I mean, that's why they're moving into services. They don't think that they're going to be selling Windows in 10 years.
Yeah, it's right. I think it's funny, you know, for all the hand-wringing around Windows Phone, it's a little easier to have the conversation where Windows Phone isn't working out, so we're branching out to other mobile devices. And people, you know, some people complain, but I think most people are like, yeah, that makes sense. It's very pragmatic. You know, eventually that happens to the PC as well, right? It's, you know, Windows is still almost 90% of the PC market, but the PC market is just a small part of the wider market for personal computing devices. And it's probably just going to get smaller, I would imagine, as a percentage.
And it should, and this is my other argument, it should get smaller because I talk to so many people, you know, nice people who are grappling with stuff that only an IT department should ever have to grapple with. And
this is like a trip to the dentist, Leo. I hear you. And I agreed that I need this root canal.
You don't want it.
But
this is clearly what Nadella has seen and where Microsoft is headed. They know that. And so why not keep giving away Windows? It's a dead business.
I wouldn't say dead yet.
No,
if you look,
people get very sensitive when you use the word dead.
No, it's a multi-billion-dollar business. However,
it is. It's still the biggest part of their revenue base. Is Windows.
That's the innovator's
Windows
dilemma, isn't it? This is the innovator's dilemma.
I don't think Windows is. You said it because of the personal
desktop computing. That group of, or what do they call it? Personal computing? Revenue-wise. Yeah, that's still just revenue-wise, not profit-wise. Revenue-wise is still the biggest segment.
But that's more than just Windows.
It's more
right?
than I mean, just Windows, right?
Back when the businesses were Windows, Office, Server, etc., Windows went from number one to number two to number three, and possibly to number four. I don't remember, but
It was going down.
Yeah, as far as the sizes of their individual businesses,
yeah,
they've hit it. I mean, we can't really say anymore.
It's like if you were in the CD-ROM business. And people said to you, "No, someday nobody's going to want physical media. It'll all be coming over the internet." And you said,
"I'm
going to
open a Redbox outlet.
I want to." Yes, you'd think people
DVDs.
Were nuts. And if people thought Netflix was nuts when they split off the DVD business from the streaming business, and actually Netflix had to back down. But you know what? Reed Hastings was right.
Sure.
It just, he was a little, you know, he was saying something people didn't want to hear, but physical media is dead. And I think desktop operating systems are mostly dead, except for high-end users who need, and even PC gamers. Paul, you're a gamer.
Yep.
You like your Xbox?
I do.
It's a lot easier.
Yeah, it really is. And even though it doesn't do certain things, et cetera, you turn it on, it works.
Yeah.
There's something to be said for stuff like that.
Yeah. I mean, mainframes didn't go away either.
Right. In fact, they've come back.
Well, okay.
You're the mainframe. It's just like your desktop Linux.
Nice.
Same thing.
Yep. It's just dying, and I think that Microsoft has to look forward as they have, and they've done a good job, but it's a challenge because, it's a multi-billion-dollar business. You don't want to kill it yet.
No.
Yet. But you need to also make the transition, and you need to move your users.
Yeah, you need to be ready.
Well, and you need your users to move that way.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so the way you do it, in my opinion, is you get them using your services, Office 365. Mm-hmm. You get them off the notion that the operating system and a general-purpose operating system and a PC are really the future. They're already telling you that because they're not buying any of them. I don't know. I'm always a little ahead of the curve, so.
You know, this is why I'm, like you mentioned Chromebooks. Like, I guess I could live on a Chromebook.
Totally could with what you do.
You know what I'd rather live on is that thing that HP showed where you take your phone and you plug it into a clamshell device and that's your computing platform.
Why would you prefer that? That, to me, makes more sense.
Sorry?
Why would you prefer that?
Why would I prefer that? Because I've tried a Chromebook twice and I guess I just don't like the idea of my stuff is all...
No, you can store it locally.
You can, but I don't know.
There's an advantage to having it in the cloud because then
there is.
It's First of all, I don't think any of your stuff is that private, right? I mean, you're not.
No.
Yeah.
Right.
It's your articles, which you're going to publish in the public eye soon. Right. And, you know, one has to trust Google, if you're using a Chromebook, to store your data securely. But everything you're doing really could be done on a Chromebook.
Yeah.
And there are advantages. Yeah, like if you lost the Chromebook, you still have all your articles.
I like the idea of it being my phone in that same scenario. Like, if I lose my phone, I get another phone.
Right.
And it's all
kind of like that right now. If you lost that Android device of whatever ilk you're using.
Sure, but that's true of PCs too, right? It shouldn't matter what device you're using. If you have a Mac or a PC or an Android device, an iPhone, whatever, and that you're
not if you're saving everything in the documents folder and not backing up.
No, but hopefully you're not doing that.
Well, guess what, Paul? Normal people are not doing that.
But this is that tradition thing I was talking
about.
If you really kind of step back and think about what it is you're doing, this is not actually a very good way to do things. You know, you shouldn't be beholden to the reliability of a single storage device.
That's why
on a single computer
should be using Chromebooks. There's also no virus issues. There's no security issues. Updates are transparent and happen automatically in the background. If you screw
also true of
up,
Windows 10, by the way.
You can power wash it. Hey, I don't think it's quite true because I just sat there for 30 minutes watching Windows say, everything's going to be okay. You got your files. Don't worry. Everything's fine. It's not exactly how it is. I'm telling you, invisible. Like, you always are up to date.
Sure.
And, I mean, it is what happens with Edge. It's what happens with Internet Explorer. It's what happens with Chrome. But imagine that for your whole OS.
Yeah. I mean, you still, I play around with my Chromebook occasionally.
That's the problem, is we don't play around enough with these, so we have this opinion of them.
Well, I have a Mac and I have a Chromebook, and I keep them up to date and I see how that works. I mean, I agree with you for the most part. I think, you know, you occasionally still have to, you know, shut it. You don't shut down the computer, I guess, but you have to shut down Chrome to bring it back up, you know, to have
it's
the
unfortunate
updates
that still the Chromebook has to be rebooted sometimes, which is really dopey.
Yeah, look, it is absolutely a lot simpler than a full-powered computer. There's no doubt about it. It is simpler.
It's also, but more than simpler. Simpler, everybody agrees to. More robust is the issue.
Yeah, okay.
Problem-free. Sure.
Yeah. Well, but then you have additional problems. If you're used to, you know, again, whether tradition or not, people have certain workflows that they're very used to, a way that they acquire photos and then do whatever they do with them, a way that they write documents and share them with other people. And you do have to change the way you do things a little bit in a Chromebook. And I think that's one of the little stumbling blocks. And I think people are naturally afraid of, there's still this kind of notion that you have to be online all the time for this thing to work. And, you know, what if I can't get online, I can't access my documents and, you know, these kinds of fears. And, you know, it's not perfect.
I understand that. I understand that. It's all just people who are, you know, thinking in the past.
Luddite, yeah.
It's not even Luddite. So that's the sad thing. The people who are most resistant are the ones who could most benefit from it. And then there's tech journalists and enthusiasts like us. And we persist in using the enthusiast platform without recognizing the amount of pain. I do this radio show 6 hours a week. I hear the pain. It's like, oh, my God.
You know, I am so busy. But yeah, this weekend, I'm going to have to blow away the SNUC thing again and not install the stupid window, Intel drivers. And I think that's going to fix it because it seemed to have worked in the past. But what a stupid thing. And I think the problem I have with this is, like, how fragile is this thing that I install the maker's own drivers and that's what screws it up?
Yeah, isn't that sad?
You know, that, yeah, that's not what
be
I'm
glad
you
for. Don't have an Asus PC. Did you hear about that?
Yeah, I did. Yeah,
secure boot. If you had an Asus motherboard and you ran a recommended Windows update that disabled secure boot on Windows 7, because I guess Windows 7 doesn't need secure boot anymore. Thank you, Microsoft. You couldn't boot into your computer.
It's insecure boot.
The Asus said, yeah, you know what? This hard drive's insecure. You can't use it anymore.
Right.
You got anything else? You got anything else to offer? That's, what? What? Anyway, I'm beating a dead horse, and I shouldn't because
it'll
beat itself. It's one of those horses that will beat itself soon enough.
Yep.
Sure. And it's coming. And I just think that Microsoft's acknowledging that. And
I do too. Yeah, that's right. By the way, some guy, Twitter complained. Oh, come on, this is Windows Weekly. It's like, okay. In a way, what it really is Microsoft Weekly. And I think the important part about this discussion is we don't focus everything on Windows. It's focused on
Good
Microsoft.
Lord, if this were Windows Weekly and we only covered Windows,
I know,
this would be a short show.
And time would be running out.
Yeah.
Bad news.
Yeah.
I think it's called Windows Weekly, but it's really, it's Microsoft Weekly.
It's just a catchy name. I mean, remember,
all of our shows cover technology as it is today and as it's going forward. Right. If you want a nostalgia show, this is not where you should be.
No, it's not. Although I could go down that rabbit hole too.
We might do that someday, though.
No, but I think the thing I said earlier is the pertinent point. I mean, we got to give Microsoft credit for making this transition because for too long, I think that company was kind of beating the Windows horse and not doing the right thing and just trying to replicate that success over and over again and never making it work. And for them to have this kind of turnaround and embrace the cloud and embrace mobile computing, embrace other platforms and embrace companies that were previously their competitors. Super important. It's hugely positive.
Agree. Yep.
One thing that's changing is that Dell, HP, Acer are now doing Chromebooks that are mid-range, high-quality hardware. And that I think is going to change things. One of my computers has just announced that it's alive and wants to hear from me.
I'm tired of listening to you and I'm dying.
Yes. So she just said hi. Did you hear that? I think it was Siri, but I think she's in my purse. I don't know. And there's a voice coming out of my purse.
Why do you have a purse, Leo?
All men someday will have purses. I'm coming to you from the future. Do you know by the way, this has become like a 40-pound bag now.
That used to be like a 2-inch thick satchel.
It's gotten bigger
It's turned into a Costanza wallet.
Costanza.
It's a Costanza laptop bag.
I now have, a multi-tool. I could fix a car with this thing. I got it, and it's heavy. You know, it's all of its...
It's going to be man causes uproar in airport.
Oh, I'm in trouble in the airport.
You're going to be spread eagled on the floor because you've got your Leatherman thing out.
360-degree camera. I've got, by the way, cabling solutions for any kind of device.
Yeah.
Once you carry in a bag, you start, might as well put everything in here. I have 15 operating systems in a sack.
By the way, one thing I don't want to say invested in, but I carry these little cables, I don't know what that's, 6-inch cable.
Yeah.
I have one of these each for, normal brilliant. USB-C and Apple. And brilliant. I put them in my bag because they weigh nothing and you never know which one you're going to need.
Right. I need a set like that, just a small set of every possible.
Yep.
Thanks to the proliferation of connections.
I know.
I have one of those power supplies that has every tip for every possible computer in here.
Yep.
Okay, enough of that.
You never know.
You never know. And I'm ready for anything.
And everybody complaining that this is Windows Weekly, because people are saying that right now. Look, it could be Hadoop Weekly or it could be Windows Weekly.
What would you like?
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
I know what Mary Jo's voting for.
First of all, that's slightly inaccurate. It could never be Hadoop Weekly.
It could.
But I see what you're saying.
But no, it's funny because we do an enterprise show, although it is as much about all, general computing as any of our shows.
Yeah.
But enterprise shows, there are quite a few of them. We certainly probably could do more. I just have no interest in it. That's all.
Yeah, you know what? Show, right? If you really wanted to say, like, what would be the show to do? It would be about cloud and cloud services that would be across all platforms.
Right. But there'd still be a consumer version of that and an enterprise version of that. We do Twig This Week in Google is essentially our cloud show, cloud/social media show.
Sure.
It same problem. It was it's about Google and Facebook and Twitter and. Mm. Azure.
Yeah, so I mean, imagine if the Google show you were only allowed to talk about Nexus devices.
That's all about Android.
Just
going to
pretend the other ones don't exist.
Because
it's Google.
Now, the names, the shows change, names don't. You can't change the name. You don't want to change the name. So
Yeah. No.
They evolve. No. But we, right. these are,
look
we
at
do
PC
tech,
Mag.
Right. right. It's not about PCs.
not a magazine. Not about PCs. Anymore.
Yeah. Not about PCs.
but we cover technology.
What happened to Jim Lauterbach? Was he PC Mag?
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, he's around.
He built their labs.
That wonderful little man.
Don't say that.
I used to see him at trade shows with like backpack on his back, and it looked like it was like this gigantic. He's a good guy.
He's a friend. He so he was at Revision 3. He ran Revision 3 for a while. Sold it to Discovery Networks. Made a little money. He's kind of semi-retired. Right. Now he's doing consultancy. One of his companies is called Watch It. W-O-C-H-I-T. That's an interesting play. They make you could make kind of the idea, and I think they were a little ahead of their time. Now is really ripe. Is you as an enterprise can make videos for putting on Facebook, let's say, with you know captions and stuff, and they provide all the B-roll and all the kind of canned material, so you can write it and voice it. It's really an interesting platform, and then put it on social media, so you don't have to have a video production company or department as a business to put content up. And I think it's actually quite smart. I've been playing with it. And I like it. So that's what Jim's up to.
That's cool. No, it's great. I haven't seen him in forever. He's a good guy.
Briefly. No, I won't go into that one. He has a number of things he's doing. He's doing great, though. I see him all the time. Yeah, he built the labs for Ziff Davis.
He did.
In Foster City, yeah. Oh, remember that when there were computer magazines and they had testing labs? Remember those days?
Yep.
My magazine had a computer lab. We literally had a standalone lab in its own physical location, and it was amazing. And it was like the mad scientist lab.
Yeah.
It was awesome. Yeah,
do you remember that PC Magazine every 6 months would do a printer roundup? No one else could do that. They'd get every printer.
I know. You still see these websites. It's like, here's the best laptop you can. It's like, shut up.
You can't do it. You can't do it. No
there
one.
117 laptops that came out this quarter. You have no idea what you're talking about. Yeah, that kind of thing it's missed. I mean, this is kind of just a weird sidetrack. I'm actually speaking in Boston this week, and it's about this. It's about how do you deal with this kind of a change? In other words, what we're dealing with is superficial knee-jerk reactions to things online instead of carefully crafted, deeply researched pieces that gave you real information. You know, how does someone who's kind of old school deal with this kind of new world we live in? Is that you have to kind of adapt. There's no way around it. You can't just say I'm not gonna be involved. Like it's happening. Sorry, you know, it's tough.
Technology changes so much faster than everything else. You know,
right?
I mean, I used to eat at DQ and now and then McDonald's, but now I go to Arby's. But that took decades. Five Guys Burgers and Fries.
As long as you get in the beef and cheddar, you're in.
Yeah, as long as I get the beef and cheddar, it doesn't matter really where.
Well, it does kind of matter where.
Are you an Arby's beef and cheddar guy?
I love.
By the way,
there are no Arby's.
Beef and cheddar.
There are no Arby's near us anymore. And there used to be one in Dedham. There was one up in Waltham. And they're all gone from this area of the country. So,
yeah, no. Well,
I actually make a point. If I see an Arby's, I will go to an Arby's because it actually.
We have them out.
It's almost
here.
Like nostalgia food for me.
Yeah. Next time I'll get your beef and cheddar next time you're out here. At Abby's.
Remember they used to have like 5 for $5? You could get 5 of them for $5.
By the way, somebody in the chat room said that's legacy dining.
Yes, that's exactly right. It's tradition dining.
Thank you, P.S.
I don't know why I'm eating this.
Legacy.
It's like this orange stuff that I think
it's
is
not
cheese.
Not as good as I remember.
Yeah.
That Shamrock Shake, I thought that was going to be great, but no.
Yeah, it tastes like, what does it taste like? Chemicals.
Tastes like toothpaste.
Yes.
It has the consistency of toothpaste. You're drinking toothpaste.
That's gross.
But it's deliciously gross. Our show today brought to you by something you ought to be doing, and I know many of you are, and many of you are not, Carbonite Online Backup. Because backup is not something to be trifled with. And, of course, if you're going to do backup, there's some things you're going to be looking for. I'm just telling you. You want something that's automatic. You don't want to have to think about backing up because I can guarantee you if you say, every Sunday I'm going to back up, you'll forget. You'll forget. So automatic means it's always backing up whenever you're online. And it's also continuous. This is really important because if you do back up once every Sunday, what happens if you lose a file on Saturday? That file, you're going to go back 6 days. And if it's the article Mary Jo's writing for All About Microsoft, there ain't nothing from 6 days ago. So this is Carbonite's solution. Automatic, continuous. Oh, one more thing. It's off-site. And I, you know, whatever you say about the cloud, and of course you should have a local copy of everything. I'm not saying you shouldn't. You should have two. But one of your backups should always be off-site in case of tornadoes or sinkholes or earthquakes or fires or floods or just thieves stealing everything. Those will get your backup just as much as they'll get your original unless it's off-site. Carbonite makes this all easy and affordable, flat rate pricing. As little as $59 a year, that's less than $5 a month for everything on a computer, Mac, PC. They also have home or office. They have server plans. They also go to carbonite.com, look at the plans, all kinds of plans. They all have free trials, and I encourage you to do the free trial. If you're going to do that, you don't need to give them a credit card. It's free. Like you, it won't auto-renew or anything, but they want you to try it. But I want you to use the offer code Windows for two reasons. One, self-serving, then they'll know you heard it on the show, and that's good for us. But two, you'll get two free months when you buy. Carbonite.com. 1.5 million homes and small businesses trust Carbonite. Carbonite has restored, in their couple of years of existence, 50 billion files. 50 with a B, billion. That's 50 billion files that would have been lost. People would have been crying. I lost my tax work. I lost my photos from my baby pictures, you don't want to lose that stuff. And it isn't too late to get that 30% off deal too. So go to carbonite.com, do the free trial, pick the plan that works for you. And it is not too late for 30% off business and personal plans. And don't forget to use Windows as the offer code on the trial. That way you'll get two free months as well. That's that kind of double savings. You got to back it up to get it back. Do it right with Carbonite. And yes, by the way, Carbonite is a good solution for ransomware. In fact, if you go to Carbonite and you look in the resources section under white papers, they have a whole white paper on ransomware, protecting your business from so many businesses. You know, we talk about backup like, oh, well, everybody in business would have backup, except for that hospital in Pasadena that had to pay $17,000 because they didn't have a backup and they got bit by ransomware. You hear the stories over and over again. And actually, the $17,000 they played to the bad guys is nothing compared to the HIPAA fines that they're suffering because they weren't taking care of business. Take care of business. Carbonite.com. Use the offer code Windows. Paul Thurrott.
It's just like BTO.
Yes.
Taking care of business.
TCB, baby. BTO. Bachman Turner Overdrive.
BTO is back.
They're back, baby. They never left. They're wicked good.
There you go.
Arby's BTO all-in-one show.
All-in-one show. Soon yep. Eclipse coffee syrup and we'll have the trifecta. Beef and cheddar. I was talking to Dan Lyons on Triangulation. He's got from Merrimack Valley, that great Boston accent. I love it.
Yeah.
I saw you interviewed him. That's going to be good.
Do you know guys know Dan?
Yep.
I love him. I guess he's made some enemies over time. Steve Jobs didn't like him much for the fake Steve Jobs blog.
Sure. Sure.
But
surprising.
He's such a funny guy. I really like Dan. Okay. We've talked your ear off about Windows. Well, what we haven't talked about is Redstone.
Right.
Great.
Build 1.4.
Yeah.
3.4.2.
The one you're on now.
The one I'm on. Tell me about it. What do I got?
Yeah.
Actually,
so
a big
one. This came out last night, at midnight or something.
Wow.
Midnight East Coast time. But that was a mistake. They were intending to make it come out today, but then they pushed it in their publishing system a little too far.
Oh.
So people started getting it last night, and then all day today that people have been updating to it. So what's new in this one? More Edge extension support, specifically AdBlock and AdBlock Plus.
Huge.
Huge. Yep. Huge.
Huge.
As somebody might say.
Huge. Yep. It's huge.
Oh, boy.
It's bigger than Chris Christie. Huge.
It is way bigger. Swipe navigation and Edge comes back. Real-time web notifications with Edge. So there's a lot of good stuff. Some improvements to Bash. I'm going to say the B word, Bash.
I'm going to add a new feature to the show, the bash tip of the day, a little later on.
Bash tip of the week.
Yeah, oh, right, the bash sim leak of the week.
Wow. The Skype UWP preview app got updated. So there's a whole lot of stuff in this. But the one that people... big news is Microsoft is removing... Well, I don't know if this is what Paul thinks is the big news. They're removing a feature of Wi-Fi Sense.
Oh. They got a lot of heat for that. I think inappropriate heat.
Right. Yes, so this was the one where you can share passwords with contacts through Wi-Fi Sense. But they're not taking away all of Wi-Fi Sense. They're just taking away that feature.
I think part of it's about your password syncing and your ability to hit public hotspots and sign in automatically, that kind of thing, right?
Yeah. It's the captive portal problem.
So, Wi-Fi Sense to me is kind of interesting because it was one of the fake controversies right around the time Windows 10 launched. And, you know, it's like, oh, Windows 10 is going to be handing out your Wi-Fi password to your buddies. And it's like, that's
it was not
actually
true.
Not what happens.
Yeah.
Here's
what happened. Why take the publicity hit for something very few people use?
Right. Yeah, that's what they said in the blog. They said nobody's using this thing. So
I don't understand how they know this, though, because like Wi-Fi Sense isn't something you use, right? It's not
I bet you they have telemetry on it, right?
They do.
Yeah.
They do.
I know, but how do they? I mean, it's just kind of an interesting thing. I mean, it's just something that sits there in the background. I mean, they don't really.
All right. I'm sure they know, though. I mean, they collect data on a lot of things, right?
Sure.
So.
Sure.
I mean, and they make a good point, which is, hey, we don't want to pay and take the time to maintain a feature that no one's using. And although I will tell you, after I wrote about this on Twitter this morning, everyone who's using this feature pinged me on Twitter. So there are people who are using it.
You can't cancel anything if you're Microsoft without hearing from everybody.
Of course. Yeah. Of course.
Yeah.
Right.
But I think it was it was so misreported.
Right.
That why, and if nobody's using it, why bother, you know? I don't think it was in any way a security problem.
Mm-mm.
No.
No, it wasn't.
No.
No, but everybody immediately said, oh, you're sharing all your passwords with people you don't know through your friends, which isn't how that works.
Right.
Yikes.
Yeah. People misunderstood it, and so I can understand why they killed it. Now, I think the ad blocking thing is very interesting because
huge.
Remember when Apple added this in iOS...
Yep.
We called it, what would we call it? Adblockalypse. Because.
Adblockalypse.
It really introduced the idea of ad blocking to a whole new group of people. And did blogs reported a drop in revenue and drop in visitors because of it. Now, this is Windows. This is big. Now, they're not putting up an ad that says, hey, turn on your ad blocker.
No, there are ad blockers on all the browsers. So this is really just about Edge becoming functionally. As complete as possible, you know.
Yep.
But they're not adding plugins just like, okay, plugins are turned on. They're adding them onesie twosie or something. I don't understand that.
Well, they're building the extensibility platform for Edge, and then extension makers are adding these things. So the AdBlock extension comes from AdBlock. It's not Microsoft.
No, I get it, but it doesn't. So there are a lot of extensions. Let me look at these extensions.
No, not right now. They're right. But so one of the things that changed in this build is now extensions are distributed the way they will be, when this thing is final, which is through the store. So there'll be a part of the store that has extensions.
There's just a handful. There's Pinterest, a Pinterest button.
By the way, we've now said that enough.
Okay, we can stop.
I think that sounds right. that just sounds right to me.
Reddit Enhancement Suite. I never heard of that. And then everything's from Microsoft except for Pocket, Pinterest, and AdBlock Plus. By the way, AdBlock and AdBlock Plus are not the same thing.
Not the same. I know.
Right.
Confusing.
AdBlock Plus.
So it's
Plus
best to have both installed, right?
No. I would prefer AdBlock.
Let them fight it out.
To AdBlock Plus. AdBlock Plus is the one that has that you could pay them and not be blocked. They justify, oh, really? Yeah, they justify it by saying, no, but what we have is a way of answering this problem of putting sites out of business that right. have ads but don't have obtrusive ads. So we're going to have a standard, and as long as your ads are acceptable, they call it their acceptable ad policy,
mm-hmm.
and you give us money, we won't block you. So they're not the really ugly ads.
Yeah. Yeah.
See, that's controversial.
It's very controversial. And that's AdBlock Plus.
Right.
AdBlock, I don't believe, does that. I'd like to see uBlock Origin in here, too, but they haven't done that one yet.
It'll probably happen eventually.
So the idea is the platform, the extension platform is now done and complete, or no?
Well, no, it's still...
It's a preview, right? Oh,
yeah.
Because this is still a preview.
Oh, it's still
build.
Part of Insider, yeah.
It will ship publicly this summer as part of that anniversary update.
But it does require the third-party extensions to update them. Or write themselves for this. It's not just like if I already right. have Firefox working, I don't just port it over. Or do
I? Actually, they do have porting guides for developers, and okay. I believe it's fairly easy to port a Chrome extension over to Edge.
Well, AdBlock, the AdBlock Non Plus is a Chrome extension.
Yeah. Actually, so that's the one I compared. So when you look at AdBlock on Edge versus Chrome, the UI for configuring it is exactly the same.
Oh,
it looks exactly the same. There's a couple of features missing in the Edge version. And there's some things that, to me, make it a little less useful. Like one of the things I really like about AdBlock on Chrome is that you get a toolbar button. You can bring it up, and on the fly, you can say, just turn this off of this site now. You know, mm-hmm. In Edge, you have to go into the menu. You have to find the extension. You have to go into settings from there.
Yeah.
It's just a little wondrous.
Yeah. I'm looking at it right now. Yeah. So I've installed that AdBlock just to see how it.
Yeah, the other thing, I didn't even know it had this, but in looking up to see what the differences were, on AdBlock on Chrome and probably on Firefox and elsewhere, you can actually right-click elements on a web page and say, block this thing.
Right.
Which is really cool. You can't do that on Edge. I don't know if that's coming or if it's...
That has to do probably with the DOM model and Edge and all of that.
Yeah.
All I really care about is LastPass or other password vaults, 1Password, whatever. That's what that's what I'm waiting for. Then if LastPass were in here, because that's what I use, I'd use Edge instead of IE.
I want to use Edge because I really like the way it renders text and graphics.
The scroll is smooth. And
it's beautiful.
Yeah.
There's a couple of things I use in Chrome that I really, really use. One of them is the ability to pin web apps to the taskbar. I love that.
Yeah.
And those windows that open don't look like web browsers. They're just plain windows, so they look like apps. It's really nice. But I also, you know, the thing is, I'm not going to be using Windows 10 Mobile, and I want to be able to sync the favorites from Edge to other browsers. And there are probably third-party tools that do this if I just don't know of any. But, you know, if I want to, I'm not going to do this, but if I wanted to use Safari, for example, on an iOS device, Apple has a utility that will sync from IE and from Chrome and from Firefox to Safari on mobile. It doesn't support Edge yet. I hope it will eventually for those people. It won't help me, but I would be happy to use Edge and Windows.
Oh, you know, look, I'd like AdBlock to. Also participates in the acceptable ads program. Okay. Well, now they both do. But you can turn that off.
Mm-hmm.
I just installed it. Okay. Okay.
And nice did you find that. That? How did you? So I haven't looked at the
So once you install it, it then says... when you open Edge, you have a new extension. Mm-hmm. Would you like to run it? And you do, and then I'm getting AdBlock is now installed, and it has a little content from Ad. Click the More menu. That's the ellipsis at the top right of the window. Right-click the AdBlock icon, and then you say, show it in the ad next to the address bar. So that adds a little icon. You have to do that manually.
Yeah. I assume they're going to have a little area of the store that will be obvious and easy to find.
Oh, I just got a question from Microsoft. How hard was it to move extension tech next to the address bar in Microsoft Edge? That's part of the customer service thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then that too hard, not hard. You know, I shouldn't have to right-click to do it.
Was it just right, Leo? The right level of difficulty.
So now they're saying, what can we do to make it better? This is great. I love this. I think that's great.
Yep.
Having to right-click is a little too much. Try to just have it show up. Just have it show up, right? That's what it does in Chrome.
Right.
and then right click to remove. I do have my lunch today. Thank you. Yes. They're asking me. I'm sorry. I'm talking to Microsoft. You continue, please.
You look right, famished.
We'll just move on.
I'm just glad that they're getting there. This is good. No, they are getting there.
Yeah. And it's really good to see Edge is starting to get all the things everybody was complaining it didn't have. Right?
So. Yep. I still have these items, though, man. It's killing me. Like, I really want to use it, but.
It's close.
We'll see. Yeah. I think it will get there.
Progress. This is what happens. It's only been a year. Just remember that. Think of that.
It's not a small child. I mean, I. You know.
It's growing. It's taking its first steps, Paul.
Have you really got that big?
How did that happen? Preschool already? Wow.
You look like you could be Windows 11. Am I right?
We also got a Patch Tuesday update.
Right.
You want to talk about that?
Sure.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, we can do it really
fast. Paul, go away. Mary Jo's turn.
If you're running the Windows 10 November update, you know, Windows 10, 15, 11 for PCs or mobile, you got an update this week as part of Patch Tuesday that is 10586.318. Lots of bug fixes, lots of reliability fixes for both. I don't know. Was there anything really important to call out specifically? There's like IE fixes, Cortana, Bluetooth, Edge. There's some camera stuff.
To me, the big deal is just that it's, you know, these updates are not new features. They're just fixes. So I suppose there are people out there who are having some problem where they'll say, great, this is great. It fixes something that was wrong. But for the most part, to me, this just seems like a keep the, you know, trains running kind of thing.
Okay.
So it was good.
Nothing to
Everybody
say here.
Got it. I haven't heard people complaining that it bricked their device or anything like that.
That's really all you care about, right?
Yeah, right. No, that's actually really helpful.
Yeah. It. There were a lot of patches, though. It's kind of amazing that there's still so many fixes.
I've been wondering about this. So, Mary Jo, you might know something about this because they only 3 months ago started detailing these cumulative updates. And I noticed this on Surface as well. If you look at the Surface updates from this month and last month, they look humongous. Like there's a really long list of items. But I'm actually starting to wonder that maybe this isn't that different from updates they had done in the past. It's just that they're kind of breaking them out.
That's what I think. Remember how we used to see the firmware updates before? It'd be like a bunch of stuff was lumped into like one line, right?
Yeah, like one thing. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So now I feel like they're pulling out each thing to make it easier for people to see. Here's what we actually gave you this month in the updates. Okay.
Right.
Great.
Which is, I think, technically pretty great because they're responding to feedback from people who said, we want to know what's going on here. And in the case of Windows 10, they weren't documenting it at all.
Right.
And I suspect, I don't actually know this, but it just seems like the Surface updates have gotten more detailed.
You know, they have.
It seems like there's a lot more stuff. I find it hard to believe that the amount of stuff they're changing has actually gone up.
Yeah. I think they're like just people. Yeah. People wanted to know, right? Like you'd see a name of an update and you'd be like, but what is that thing? Right. And now you really know what it is.
Right. Yep.
So,
you don't want to know how the sausage is made.
Mm-mm. You don't. You just want to see the sausage.
Just want to eat the sausage.
Some people just want to see that they just want to have, they just like getting updates. They don't really care.
Right. Yeah. So speaking of that, there were a bunch of updates, also firmware updates, Surface Pro 4 and Surface Book earlier in the week. Again, like Paul just mentioned, it was like a laundry list.
I didn't see that.
Yeah. So by the way, I haven't seen it either.
No, I didn't get any firmware updates. Yeah. No.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
Well, they said they're a firmware. Yeah, but you know what? I saw somebody else say this is just them republishing a list of stuff that was last month's Surface.
Yeah, because we got so many updates last month. By the way, I feel like it's fixed everything. I haven't had any problems.
That's good to hear.
Yeah, no flickering screens or anything.
I still hear occasionally from people who have issues, but it seems like for the majority
of
people.
Right?
Yeah, it's gone down big time.
Big time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the firmware updates, lots of camera stuff in the firmware updates.
Right.
Camera front, camera rear. Intel camera.
So we got those. We got those last month.
You already got all those?
Yeah. Okay. I think that they're just but rolling up last month as well.
Okay.
Yeah. Interesting. Let's see. I'm trying to figure out. I think we might do another ad here. And then we will talk for gamers. There's a little gaming segment. And then a mobile segment as well. But first, a little tip for freelancers and people who do their own invoicing. There's a better way, and it's called FreshBooks. FreshBooks is really, now they've beefed it up so much, cloud accounting. Without getting any more tricky or difficult to use, it gives freelancers and small businesses the tools they need to save time at the end of the month when it's time to bill and to get paid faster. I got, you know, I do what I do not because... because I like to make invoices. It's not my business. Probably same for you, right? And at the end of the month was always kind of a pain. It's like, you know, when you're a homeowner paying bills, you don't look forward to that. Same thing with making the bills. Turns out it's bad on both ends. FreshBooks makes it easy on both ends. So first of all, you make your invoices. They're pro. You design them on the web, and they look good. They got your logo and everything. They do all the currencies, and they handle that automatically, which is really nice if you bill internationally, which I did. It will do all the reporting your accountant wants, or if you do your own taxes that you want. It takes about 30 seconds to make an invoice. And in fact, it's made easier because it's already been keeping track of things. For instance, if you bill for time and hours, you can use the FreshBooks app, and it automatically record time and hours and then put it into the invoice automatically. You can use the app to take pictures of the receipts, whether it's for your own purposes or to get expense reimbursements. It will put, if that's the case, it'll put them in the invoices as well. And then for people who are paying bills, your clients, there's a pay me button. They take online payments. So it couldn't be easier for your clients too. It's one of the reasons if you use FreshBooks, you get paid faster, on average 5 days faster. Plus, when you got a slow pay, you don't have to handle it. FreshBooks automatically sends them a nice tickler, little reminder, haven't seen the payment, keeps track of paid and unpaid invoices, makes it very easy for you to get reports so you know what you've made. There's a new thing they've added called project deposits. They support your client putting a deposit down for expected expenses, and then they come out of that. So you don't have to do it out of pocket. Lots of insights. You can even tell whether your client's even seen the invoice. So if they say, I haven't seen your invoice yet, you can say, well, no, I think you have. I can tell. Things like that are just great. Now, but it's a small amount of all the things they do. So I want you to check it out. 30 days free. If you make invoices, if you send invoices, if you're a small business, oh, they have a chip reader too. You could dip the chip or swipe the stripe. It goes right in your phone. So if you are somebody who works at people's houses, you know, you're an installer, an inspector or whatever, and plumber, you can use this to give them the estimate on the FreshBooks app, give them the invoice on the app. So they can get them to pay on the app. It's all without leaving the place. I don't know. I could go on and on. Go to FreshBooks.com/windows. If they ask you, how did you hear about us? Remember where you heard it, Windows Weekly. FreshBooks.com/windows. 30 days free right now. And we thank them so much for their support of Paul and Mary Jo and Windows Weekly.
A few people are chiming in on the Surface updates, and some people are saying they reissued the firmware for some people who are having issues, and other people are saying they got some, but not all of them. So it sounds like there's a lot of duplicates from what was the month before.
I got updates, but I didn't see any firmware updates.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't either.
So maybe it's made specific to certain hardware or something. But like I said, everything's fixed. Oh, you know what? I'm an insider. Paul and I are insiders. Maybe we're in a different boat.
That shouldn't
impact. Not for firmware, right?
Mm-mm. No, you should still get those.
Well, I'm just saying maybe because we're insiders, we got it earlier last month.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying? And now normal slow ringers are in slow ringer. Are you a slow ringer?
Jeez. That's, you know, that's you can't really profile like that, Leo.
I know. That's wrong. Okay. It's not politically correct. UWP for gaming. This is interesting.
Mary Jo, nothing?
Blah, blah, blah.
I can see you talking. I don't hear a word you're saying.
Rise of the Tomb Raider came out when? January, February, somewhere back then.
Yeah, a while ago.
And since then, they've released a ton of AAA games through the store, which are universal Windows platform games. But hardcore gamers and really technical people are, you know, immediately started complaining, oh, this platform doesn't support this, it doesn't support that. And Microsoft has pledged to fix those things over time. And the way they mentioned this up front, I thought it was going to be the better part of the year. Maybe we'd see some stuff in the anniversary update. Maybe some of it would come after that. But actually, they picked the or they fixed the most pressing issue, which is the frame sync issue, right? So if you have a Win32 game, you can choose to have that game play to the refresh rate of your monitor, or you can change it so that it's ideal for the game. And then there are technologies that prevent the tearing that you see, the visual tearing that you see when the frame rate is different from the monitor refresh rate. So that stuff's all been added to universal Windows platform apps and or in games. And in an in that cumulative update that went out on Tuesday. So it's just, it's out there. Now, the games have to be updated to support it. There's also this thing, I forget the exact term. It's I think it's called full screen exclusive mode, where when you're playing a game, what you want to do is just play the game. You don't want to be able to all tab into it and have another app come up and screw up the display because it might be a different resolution and so forth. Microsoft says they don't need to add that because that's how these games already work, and that this thing will, there'll be no performance penalty for having alt tab capabilities. It's basically better than full screen exclusive, if that's what it's called. And so it's funny, like in just the span of really just some weeks, they've basically fixed this big issue. And while we've been recording this show, I think this is the first game to add this functionality, but the Gears of War Ultimate Edition that came out on Windows 10 a couple of months ago just got an update that adds this functionality to it. So now you can, you know, screw around the sync rate if you want to and get a, you know, a more sophisticated display for you kind of hardcore gamer types. Not that any of you would ever buy a UWP game, but if you want to, now you can.
Cool. So,
problem solved. Yeah, cool. Good news.
By the way, I have an update on my, you know, I ordered the HP Spectre 13T.
Yes. Yeah.
The copper computer. It was supposed to ship on Monday. And on Tuesday, I got an email from them. It was a very kind of almost a brusque email. It didn't say much. It said, let's see if I can find it. Because it was obviously a canned email that they send from in general, you know. It's not going to, just to inform you of a shipping delay. You won't get it. We won't be shipping till the 23rd. And then today I got a much nicer email. I think they realized that it was kind of brusque. Like, you just spent $1,500 on a computer from us and who cares? And you'll get it. You'll get it when you get it. So shut up.
That's the old HP, Leo.
So I got the new HP, said, you know, because there was such fantastic demand for this computer, we can't get them out fast enough. But don't worry, you're going to get it in the next couple of weeks. And everything... Thank you for recently pre-ordering the world's thinnest notebook. I want to let you know that due to high demand for this amazing new product, your shipment is taking a bit longer than expected. Don't worry, though. I'm reading it. You should be enjoying your new machine within the next couple of weeks. So it's delayed to the 23rd.
At least you know.
You know, I kind of expected it. It was a pre-order. So with pre-orders, it's not like you go, oh, where is it now? I should be getting it.
Wait, they actually want the computer?
I want this computer. It's beautiful. That's the one with the melted chocolate.
Why would they be surprised that people would order something that they're selling?
Yeah. Well, so, you know, as you know, there's many a slip twixt the laptop and ship. And it could be that something didn't work and, you know, they had a showstopper and they had to go back. Or it could be that it's, you know, they got them and the lids fell off. or it could be that there really has been a lot of demand. And, I mean, I ordered it the day, you know, you could order it at 5 a.m. So, but, you know, I bet you it's harder to make. I bet you they don't sell. It can't be they sell a whole lot of them, right? Mm. I don't know.
No, it's a high-end computer like that is probably going to be kind of a lucrative but small business, right?
But I can't wait. I will show you when I get it. It's just not this week. Hey, here's good news for you Surface owners. You like it. You really like it.
Yeah, so I've never heard of this company, JD Power, but apparently, I guess they, well, you know what they do. Anyway, so they do those customer satisfaction surveys, and they did one for tablets. And Surface was neck and neck with the iPad, basically tied. I mean, the iPad had 1 point more, but on a scale of 1,000, the iPad scored 830 from customer satisfaction across several categories, and Surface scored 829, just 1 point difference. And, you know, it's performance, ease of operation, features, styling, and design, and cost. And then this is just based on my notes, but it says that Apple and Microsoft both received 5-star ratings from JD Power compared to 4 for Samsung and 3 each for Amazon and HP.
Wow. I am going to say something here, though. This reminds me of Zagat ratings. You guys still use Zagat ever?
Mm-hmm.
So... You think with the Zagat ratings that a restaurant that scores 26 is going to be, you know, equally good wherever you go. But what I found is that standards differ. So if you go to Eureka and eat a restaurant that's 26, it's a mighty good hamburger. But in San Francisco, a restaurant that's 26.
Okay. You're actually working towards something that I believe to be the case, which is when you spend a lot of money on a premium item, you tend to give it a good score because, after all, you just made a great decision.
Well, you're also only asking people who bought the Surface, and so they're kind of self-selecting as
it
is.
Oh, that's interesting. Oh, right. Okay.
Right. So, and so it's two things. Although people also chose Samsung and HP, and they're not happy. So, So I guess what it says is it's just it's. I think it's apples and oranges a little bit, or apples and surfaces. It's
I'm not surprised to discover that premium brands do better than other brands.
Yeah,
I think that's part of it.
Everybody who buys a BMW loves the BMW.
Yes, yes, they do. If you were to ask non-BMW owners to opine on what they think of BMWs and BMW owners, I suspect the scores would be slightly
different
lower.
Different score.
It was slightly lower.
Why don't they ask iPad owners what they think of the Surface Pro and the Surface Pro owners what they think of the iPad?
Is there a negative number we could apply to this? You know, so the other thing I thought that was kind of interesting about this is that none of them scored in the 90% range. Like it was... 830 was the highest score, so an 83, like a solid B minus, was the highest score.
That's
on this.
Surprising.
Yeah,
I guess because you always have features you want in something, and you're like, you know what, it would be perfect if
Nothing's
they had
perfect.
Blah.
Yeah.
If it just had fins.
And I have to think the Surface lost a little bit of luster because of these issues that we've been having. All fixed now.
I wonder. Yeah. I don't know. Sometimes, you know, I wonder in our little circle, that was a big deal.
Had JD Power asked me, I don't think I would have given it an 83, although I'm very happy with it in many respects.
I know. I wonder what. Right. So this is a recent study. I assume it's happened since those problems were.
When they say
fixed,
Surface, is it 3 and 4 or is it just Surface Pro 4 or do we know?
We don't know. It's Microsoft. It's
pretty,
a Surface.
That's
so
pretty broad.
Yeah. Well, iPad, same thing, right? So it could be iPad Mini, iPad Air, iPad, whatever.
Satisfaction can mean a lot of things. I think you're right, Mary Jo, when you say there's always features that are missing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Should that count against your satisfaction, or should you just rate your satisfaction based on what it is?
If does it bring you joy? Because if it doesn't, you need to throw it away.
Joy. Does it spark joy?
Yeah.
Well... I'm not surprised. These are premium products. People who bought them probably bought them after some research.
Research, you hope.
And picked them because they liked the feature set. So you'd expect that. And I think maybe that's the difference. Samsung and HP, these are lower cost items.
And, Apple users, we know for a fact, and I would say Surface users probably fall into the same category where they like this stuff enough that they're probably very happy to promote it to others, you know? And when you are confronted by this survey, I think your reaction is, "Oh yeah, 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 I'm gonna, you know, I'm gonna make sure."
Have you ever
this thing goes well?
Done one of these? Do you know anybody who ever has?
Mm-mm.
No, I get the Consumer Reports one, right?
Because we all subscribe. Everybody who subscribes to Consumer Reports.
Oh, everyone gets that. Okay, but not JD Power. I do surveys sometimes.
You must do phone. It must be phone surveys.
I do them for JetBlue. I'll do them for you buy something and you get a.
So, by the way, that also is going to slam it just as it does political polls because phone surveys don't, they have, I mean, how do they, Are they?
Oh, I'm talking about email. Like if JetBlue ever called me,
yeah,
my opinion of that company would go downhill really fast. Right, just because they called.
Well, I reject all cell phone calls. Period. Yeah. So they're never going to pull me, right?
Yeah, we got a call from Idaho. It's for you. You know, like I'm not picking that one up.
I use a program called Truecaller, which is available on Android only, I think. But it's great because it's a collaborative thing. So you'll see a call come in and says,
people ID.
463 people say this is spam. And I can add it to my block list and say, yep, I agree.
You know, this is slightly off topic, but you'll see why I just thought of this. I got my hair cut last week, and one of the women who works in this place came running and screamed.
You look marvelous.
Thank you for noticing. I had to mention it because no one said anything. No, but this woman, you know what it's like? A woman who worked there came running and crying and screaming. And there's this guy who had been calling her, and he wants her to go to the bank and withdraw some amount of money because he works for IRS. And it was sad to me that a human being would fall for this completely obvious scam. But he kept calling using different numbers.
Yeah, that's the problem. If it's really an evil person.
So awful. You can't and I, yeah. as, I mean, I felt bad for this woman for just not being sophisticated enough to be even worried about this. But she, I don't know what's happened. Obviously, I don't go back there every week. But I would imagine she had to get a new phone number. I mean, he just wouldn't stop. You know, that's awful.
That's horrible.
Yeah, he's probably calling from Romania.
Truecaller is available for Windows 10 mobile, Alex says.
Awesome. Yes. The chat room's saying it too. There you go. That's great. Get it. It's a really nice app. They're like Swedish, so it's okay.
Excellent.
Everything from Sweden is good. Lumia icon users, formerly Mary Jo Foley. Will you go back? Now you can run Windows 10.
So this was good. This is actually a good first step for people who have the Lumia icon. Gabe All tweeted last week that the icon is now supported for Windows 10 mobile preview builds. So as of this week, you could actually go get 14.328 for the icon, and they're going to continue to support that going forward. The thing that he didn't say, and I asked him, is what about RTM? What about Windows 10 mobile, the RTM version? And he said, no word on that so far.
So
if you want to run preview, you can start doing that with Microsoft's blessing now on your icon.
So what about when these builds become the RTM or the shipping version, right? In other words, you're testing Redstone, it's July.
Then what happens?
Do you get off the beta? Is it okay?
Or do you just continue on as an insider and you never actually get Verizon's support, which is my guess.
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering. Yep. Yeah, okay.
But yeah, so it is a really nice first step. And a lot of people were really excited about that. Everyone who's asking me, does it mean I'm going to throw my Nexus 6P away? No.
No.
But thanks. Thanks for asking. I am interested that they did that. And if they end up putting RTM on the icon, I will continue to use that periodically to stay up to date. But I do not want an insider build on my phone.
Oh, you're not even going to put the insider on there?
No, I don't want that.
Yeah. I still think Windows Phone 8 is
better. I use my phones as my real phones. Like, I don't use them as test devices.
You don't like being in a perpetual beta?
No. I know.
You're so weird.
Yeah. I'm weird. I know. I'm a weird normal. Yep. But it's good. It's
weird
good. If you want the blessing of Microsoft, you've got a partial dispensation now.
Jeez. Wow.
Using a little Catholicism.
You can remarry.
Okay, once. You get to do this once, but never again.
What do you mean she's a Presbyterian?
Oh, God. What else? Extensions? Oh, FM radio going away? That's weird.
Yeah.
Why is that? Because now, when we were at NAB, which of course is a broadcaster's show, I talked to FEMA, of all people.
Yeah.
And they are pushing to get radios put into phones. Most phones nowadays are built with radios in them, but they're not enabled in the U.S. market. It's a feature that's often beloved in other markets.
This has always been a thing on Windows Phone. You know, they've always had an FM radio.
Yeah.
And FEMA likes it because it's a safety issue. If the cell towers go down, you can still get emergency messages.
Yeah, so there are FM radio apps, I guess, on Windows 10 Mobile. And I think some people are trying to say, or, you know, just why not release it as an app? You know, just put it out there.
So my guess, my total guess why they're doing this is because they're kind of starting to push Windows 10 Mobile in a very business focused direction. Jeez. And so FM radio?
I have another guess.
Okay.
The carriers, and this is why most phones, even though they have the hardware, don't enable it in the U.S. The carriers don't want you listening to free radio.
Mm.
They want you streaming.
Oh,
That Spotify there.
That could be it. Yep.
So I would guess this is a sop to Verizon.
What, to the carriers that aren't going to carry the
carriers that hate you anyway? Well,
that's terrible.
Carriers probably say
that's
things
so
like,
terrible, it's
if you were to disable the radio, we would consider perhaps.
Yes. Yep. Sorry.
No, but I believe that's the reason it's not widely
I think that's, as soon as you said that.
That and consumers don't demand it.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yep.
I mean, so it's a win-win for the carriers.
Yeah, true.
Carriers are so terrible.
But FEMA wants it because it's a safety. And I think it's actually a really interesting point that I hadn't thought about. It's a safety issue. At least you could still get emergency information even if the cell system were out.
Mm. Right.
You know? And, of course, listen to your favorite hits from the 40s, 50s, and 60s.
Right. Yep.
I don't know many people listen to their FM phone. you can run insider previews too, right? We didn't mention that on your icon. Oh, no, we did mention that.
Yeah, on the icon.
On the icon. Extensions look to be coming to Windows 10 Mobile.
Maybe. Yeah. Interesting.
Sunsetting the sunrise. Oh, no.
Yeah.
You knew this was coming.
We did.
I love
Sunrise. When Microsoft bought Sunrise, the calendar maker, they said last year that they ultimately intended to fold the Sunrise calendar in with Outlook Mobile. And today they issued an update on this and they said we're starting to pull Sunrise standalone calendar from the stores now, like over the next couple days. And as of the end of August, August 31st this year, we're totally killing the app. It won't work anymore after that date.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Yep. And the idea is they're hoping all those people who've been using Sunrise Calendar will become Outlook Mobile customers because the calendar is part of that.
You know what, though?
I know.
I really like the Outlook Mobile app. In fact, I think the one on Android and iOS is nicer than the one on Windows. But if you are a fan of Sunrise, the Microsoft Outlook app is nothing like Sunrise.
I was going to ask that. It isn't the same, is it?
No, because it's a big, you know, it's funny. It's the anti-mobile app, right? Most mobile apps are this one thing. You have an app for mail. You have an app for contacts. You have an app for calendar. Outlook Mobile is like Outlook on the PC. It's everything in one place. Yeah. In fact, it also adds support for cloud storage, multiple providers. Mm-hmm. It's unusual, you know? And if you were a fan of Sunrise, I'm not sure this... You know, there's no version of the, well, I don't know, maybe there is a way to do this, but I don't believe you can trigger it to always open in calendar, for example. I could be completely wrong about that, but it just doesn't look or work like Sunrise. Mm. So I'm wondering if that's going to be problematic for some people.
I know. It sounds somewhat problematic for people in my feed. Because there are certain features, in, like you're saying, in Sunrise that are more
loved it, you know,
fleshed out.
But this happens. I mean, what are you going to do? It's just a calendar, folks.
No,
people
Leo.
Care it's about not their just calendars.
I know they do.
The calendar. Yeah.
Yeah.
And by the way, this doesn't just impact Windows Mobile. It impacts all iOS and Android, all of which...
I don't think Sunrise was even on Windows Mobile.
In fact, good news, Windows Mobile users will not be affected by this change.
They're not screwed out of anything. For a
Finally,
change.
Some good news about Windows Mobile. Microsoft Band 3 rumors persist. You still wear your Microsoft Band 2?
Yep. Yeah.
I like it.
I like it a lot. I actually, it's my favorite wearable. I don't know if you have this problem, but with watches, I find they kind of spin around in your wrist. The nice thing about this is it, because of its shape, it stays right where it goes and it always works. I love it.
Oh, but that's funny. I would have thought it quite the opposite because it's a hard band, right? It's not a...
Yeah, it's not... I mean,
it's a mold to your wrist.
Well, no, but if... Let me take it off. It is shaped, right? So... It naturally.
So the only hard part is the watch itself.
Yeah, but you know it's not perfect, right? And I just have a couple, 4 or 5 ideas about how I would like to see them address this. This was actually inspired because I saw a Fitbit Alta ad, and the Fitbit Alta looks like this. It's smaller, but the middle piece, like this, the body part, you know, comes out, and it lets you change the bands or the straps. I'll call them just to you know not make it confusing. And the nice thing about that is. A lot of times that's the problem reliability-wise in a Microsoft band. If they let you remove those things and replace them, yeah. That would solve a big problem, frankly, with the platform.
So this is is integral to the watch.
Yeah, it's all one piece on this one. So what I'd like to see them do is have removable straps.
And look how much money Apple's made on straps.
That's the other thing, right? Yeah. So as it turns out, these things are a fashion statement for people. There are I hate to think of these human beings, but there are probably people that have... collection of 10 straps or whatever, and they, you know,
Ritchie over at iMore, our MacBreak Weekly host, has every, I think he has every strap. He even has the Hermes straps.
Yikes.
I mean, what's wrong with black rubber straps, kids?
I like Renee, so I'm not going to. But anyway, he's a good guy.
He's like a strap fanatic.
No, you know what? Yeah. We all have something like this. Like, I'm really into bags, like luggage and
yeah, me too. You know, me too.
Let's move on. Anyway, I think they need to solve some problems, and there's some other stuff. But I think that's the big one because you know I haven't had this problem, but there's been rusting issues on the screws. There have been the latches have come off. There's been breaks, you know, between the body and the strap. I think this pretty much solves those problems. You know, not 100%, but if you go to a Microsoft store, if you're going to do it by mail or whatever, and you want to get this thing replaced, it's a lot easier to replace a strap. You know, than the entire unit. Mm. And just that alone would be a great, great change. So hopefully, you know, we'll see this year what they do with the band.
Yeah, I wonder if it'll be this year or if we won't hear about the band till spring 2017 as part of the big thing.
So I'll give you a prediction on that one. If we don't hear about it in the fall, that means that Band 3 will be Windows 10 based.
That's a good point. Or at least they'll want it to be part of the family because Band 2 was part of the hardware launch for Windows 10, but it doesn't run Windows 10.
There are sensors in that band, right? I mean, that's one of the reasons.
Oh, there are more sensors in this band than there are in, I think, any other device.
So that's an issue. You know, the straps, you can't just take, you know, swap out a strap.
Oh, I see. You mean in the band itself?
Yeah.
Most of it's, let me see. There, I think by the class in the class part, there is for heart rate and possibly some other things. UV probably is down there. I don't remember what's where, but there are. Yeah, that's true. But that should be part. You know, that's something they need to consider for the redesign. Because right now, I think this thing is kind of a technical proof of concept,
right?
And it's certainly more stylish than the old version. But I think they need to kind of take it to the next step, and they need to get it out into the world. You know, right now you basically just can buy it in U.S., Canada, and U.K., I think, might be the extent of it.
I saw an article the other day that said everybody should get a Windows phone because this pre-touch sensing is amazing.
Yeah, except that it doesn't work on a single Windows phone that's available.
It's a great idea, though.
I don't know. Yeah. You know what this reminds me of? You remember that kitten video where you go to poker, but he goes like this, and then you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's sort of like
peekaboo.
It's like the peekaboo thing.
I know. I said that to Paul on IM. I'm like, so why would you want pre-touch sensing? Like, is there some reason you would want it other than, like, the curiosity factor?
Well, it's like the band. It's a technically interesting thing.
Yeah.
Is it truly useful in its implementation? My argument... generally is that Microsoft hasn't done a good job with anticipatory technologies. It looks like you're trying to write a ransom note kind of stuff. But I think the bigger issue here is that if you look at the demos they show, you can kind of pick them apart really easily. So for example, there's a grip element to it. So if you're holding a phone with a certain grip, it knows that you're doing that and it will respond in different ways. And so maybe you're playing a video and you're holding it like this and you move your hand toward it. Well, it knows that it's horizontal landscape style, so it presents you with the normal controls and you can tap the controls. And the controls appear as your finger gets close to it. That's kind of cool. If you're holding it with one hand, it will give you a one-handed version of those controls only on the side where your hand already is. So you can lift your thumb and the controls appear. And it sounds kind of cool at first blush, but I think the problem I have with that is it requires you to learn two different user interfaces to do the same thing. Because if you look at the UI they put up in the demo, it's completely different between horizontal and or horizontal two hands and horizontal one hand. So, you know, right now it's Microsoft Research. It's something they're kind of just talking about. There was a single Windows Phone model that might have had this or an early version of this technology a couple of years ago that was never released.
McLaren.
I don't know. Yeah, McLaren, which would have been the 1020 sequel, which that alone to me makes it interesting, right? A 40 megapixel something, you know, but a lot of us Windows Phone fans would love to see another device like that, and it never happened. And I think it didn't happen because this stuff wasn't ready. Sadly.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad they're trying stuff.
Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
Yeah. And finally, let's wrap it up because a lot of people were asking about this. You mentioned this last week briefly that you ran into Satya.
I did.
And people wanted to know
that
more.
That was pretty funny. Yeah. So when I was at the Microsoft office last week in New York, I accidentally ran into Satya Nadella in the lobby. And I thought it was very interesting. The first thing he came over and asked me was, how are you doing with your Android phone?
Oh, jeez.
He did. Yeah. So I was a little taken aback and I said, it's going well. And he said, how are the Microsoft services doing on it? I really want to hear. And I said, well, most of them are working well for me. I've had a couple of rough edges. And he said, make sure you tell us what the rough edges are because we want our services to be awesome on that platform. So I said, okay, don't worry, I will.
Wow, that's interesting. Wow.
So what he didn't say was, how do we get you back into a Windows phone?
No. I also thought it was interesting he even knew that I was using Android.
You're like, he knew it without you saying you weren't holding it. He just knew it.
He knew.
Oh, well, he listens. Hi, Satya.
Yeah.
Or he gets a briefing on every journalist who covers Microsoft.
He probably does. Yep.
Well, no, I bet he gets a TDLR type thing, and I think your story about Windows leaving Windows Phone for Android made the list. I mean, it was a big story.
And I think this is actually true. You're probably one of a fairly small set of Android users who have eschewed the Google services for Microsoft services.
Maybe.
You're all in on Microsoft on an Android device. So you're somebody he really wants to hear from.
It's true.
Satya, we found a human being that's only using Microsoft services on an Android device.
It's unheard of.
Should we meet them?
Well, the other interesting thing was he looked down to see what I was using as my laptop. And he's like, "Oh, okay. You're using a Windows 10 machine." I'm like, "Yep." I said that plan to keep doing that. I like Windows 10 on my laptop. So he was making sure. He's like, "Yep, okay, good. You're still partially
you're not totally gone."
Yeah. No, and I thought it was really good. I think it's good. It shows he's open, listening, and being realistic.
When he was looking at your laptop, checking out your laptop, did you say, "My eyes are up here"? I'm sorry. So I thought you were using Windows 7.
Asking for promotion advice.
Windows 7 on my desktop, Windows 10 on my laptop.
And you're using the Asus S7?
I'm still S7? Using, yep, the Acer S7. S7, yeah. Yep.
Well, thank God you had Windows 10 on that thing.
I know. I wasn't running XP, which was good.
That would have been funny. He would have then probably said, "Hey, let us know how you like it. Tell us everything. What's going on?"
Yeah. Wow. So I thought that
he knows not only knows who you are, but knows what kind of phone you use.
I know. I took it as encouraging that he's being realistic about want them to be a Microsoft customer somehow, some way.
It's not just lip service. He really is
not lip service. Yeah. Right.
That's great.
Well, some way that actually generates the most income, really. I mean, you're an Office 365 customer, I think, right? Yeah, you are. And, well, I mean, so who cares what device you're using?
I know. Steven Sandoff said, did he ask you if you've gotten an Xbox One yet? No, he did not.
Yep.
That would be funny. All right, let's take a little breaky wakey, wake and bake, and we'll come back with the tips of the week. My bash shell tip of the week coming up. I know you've been waiting for this. Our show today brought to you by Audible.com. Actually, I bet you we get an Audible pick from a certain somebody. Yes. Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Let me fill you in on why you want an Audible pick, because we're going to give you a free book. Here's the deal. Audible is the best audiobook store in the world. I don't even know if there's a number two at this point. This is it. I live on Audible, and I have been an Audible customer since the year 2000. Hundreds of books. Listen to Audible every day of my life. If you have a commute, if you're going to the gym, I do it on the treadmill because it's so boring. But Audible, you know, I've been lately been walking to work, which is great. Gives me an hour of listening time. My commute's back. It's part of the reason I walk to work now, so I can listen to my book. So more than 250,000, we have to update the number now, more than a quarter of a million downloadable titles, all kinds of literature, fiction, nonfiction, tech stuff, how-to, help books, periodicals, performances, radio shows, audio. It's audio listening. That's what it is. And right now, we're going to give you a free audio book. All you have to do is go to audible.com/windows, audible.com/windows. You'll sign up for the gold account. That's the book a month plan. Your first month is free, though. And if you cancel in that first 30 days, you'll pay nothing. But you do get to keep the book. You'll also get the Daily Digest of the Wall Street Journal or the New York Times, so you can listen to your news on your way into work as well. The problem is, look at this, Soft Skills, the Software Developer's Life Manual. Wow, you're a nerd and probably don't know anything about life, so let me explain. Game of Thrones. Oh, there's so much good stuff here. Why don't you give us a pick here, Mr. Paul Theroux? Your favorite.
Yeah, I can't remember if I had actually chosen this pick before, but I don't care because it's so awesome.
Doesn't matter. If you love it, I
want to
know it.
So I finished that, I forgot the name of it, the Fear of the Sky book, and I'm going to read the second one, but it's just in finishing it, I listened to something that was on my phone, which is that Julia Child's book, the My Life in France.
Oh, fun.
This is fascinating. This story is awesome. She's awesome and she's incredible. But here's an interesting little twist to the story in a way. If you're a software developer, you need to read this book.
What?
Because the interesting thing about Julia Child's is that in an era in which there were not, computers like we have them now and an internet where you could do research and all this kind of stuff, this woman did the hard work of figuring out how things work. And if you think about it, recipes are basically like software programs where you can do things in any multitude of different ways and get different results. And she created a very scientific system to figure out how to make everything in that book exactly right every single time.
Wow.
And the process she goes through to get to that point is a guide for anyone who wants to be an expert in anything, but especially in something technical and especially programming. And it's
really
interesting.
What a good slant on that. I really found it intriguing.
In walking around, I'm like, this is crazy. In fact, I was listening to it and I sent Raphael a message. Raphael, of course, went through the Cordon Bleu thing, so he was also a chef, but as a really technical programmer type, I said, you need to read this. Like, this is astonishing. And I had read the book before. I think I read it in paper form when it first came out, whenever that was, years ago. But I listened to it on Audible. I'm just about done. I'm about 20 minutes away from the ending, but I wish it wouldn't end. I'm fascinated. Her life story is fascinating and she's fascinating, but I found that aspect of it to be
I'm buying it right now. I love, of course, she wrote Mastering the Art of French Cooking as a result of this year in France. And by the way, the year was 1948. In a way,
she went back, they bought a place in Provence.
In fact, I met her in the wine country here, a couple of decades ago. She's passed now. But,
sure.
What a wonderful, amazing person.
She's amazing. My friend, so she lived in this area for quite a while as well in Cambridge. And a friend of mine worked for Crimson Travel, which is a local travel agency, and I don't know if he still has it, but for many years he saved a recording of her calling him from right before.
This is Julia.
Oh, Chris, this is in her awesome voice. And,
She does not read too. You met her too?
Did you really?
Wow, we all know her.
Yep.
She was an amazing woman. And that book, yeah, Julia and Julia, the movie rather,
that's
Julia
a great
and Julia,
book.
Is a great book and movie.
And a great movie, yeah, too. It was, yeah, fun.
Yeah. So this is kind of interesting. Because I'm reading this book, we were sitting around one night here, and I said, my wife's like, we should watch a movie or something. I have an idea. Let's watch that Julia and Julie movie, whatever it's called. But let's just skip through the Julie parts. Like, we'll just watch the Julia Child part
of
it.
It's so funny.
And it's a really good 45-minute long movie about Julia Child.
Is it Meryl Streep that plays Julia Child?
Yes. And she channels Julia Child. It's awesome.
It's kind of amazing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That, by the way, is also an Audible book if you want to read that. But I love this pick. Thank you. But the point is, you got a lot of choices, 250,000 choices. Yep. Actually, not exactly, because there are a few books, the really long ones. I mentioned Game of Thrones. That's one of them where it's more than one credit. If it's a really long book, but 99.5% literally of all the books on Audible are one credit. And that's what you're going to get.
I do when I finish this. It's going to be awful.
Oh, I'm downloading it right now, Paul. I love
it so much.
I have a credit. It's my time of the month. And so I'm downloading it right now. I love it. Audible. You will too. Audible.com/windows. Audible.com/windows. Try it free. Today, this offer is good in the U.S. and Canada, I should mention, because somebody said, hey, you never tell us whether we can do this or not.
So, Mary Jo, I noticed we had the same.
I just am fixing mine.
I was going to defer to you on that, but sorry about
either
that.
Either way, I'm adding a new enterprise pick if you want.
Well, would you guys, I'll tell you what, I'll do the bash tip of the week for you first, and you guys can fight it out.
Well, you can do that. You can do the one I had. That's fine.
Tip of the week. Shut up, Paul. No, go ahead. I'll turn my microphone off.
Okay.
No, I guess I should turn your microphone off. No, I just noticed this, though, and I bet you there are some people who've installed the bash shell and are using it who probably think, or might think, that it gets auto-updated by Windows Update. It does not. So periodically, and I would do this every week or so, run apt-get update. That'll update the sources, and then apt-get upgrade, and that'll upgrade everything you've installed. So, and I know the reason I mention this is because I just did it, and I noticed there were upgrades to some of the security stuff, like SSL, OpenSSL, SFTP. You want to make sure you get those upgrades. And because they're using the Ubuntu versions of these binaries, you will be getting them from the Ubuntu repositories. Do update them, though. Don't forget. It's not handled by Microsoft. This is, you're now responsible for keeping your Bash shell up to date. That's our Bash shell tip of the week. Now,
it seems like that should be updated with the OS.
Well, I didn't know. I wasn't sure. And it is not. Gardner's asking if you want to do dist upgrade as well. Yeah, I would, if I were you, do apt-get and then do update, upgrade, dist upgrade, and auto-remove. Just make a little alias for that and just do it all, because it's probably a good idea. I don't know. I assume dist upgrade is supported. I'll check and see. You don't really have a distribution on there, do you? That's a really interesting question. What do we
not
have
yet
on here? It's not Ubuntu yet.
Right.
No, I don't think it's ever going to be, is it?
I don't know.
No.
Soon it'll just be a Windows 10 virtual machine running on top of Ubuntu.
I'd love that. Yes, dist upgrade works, and there are some upgrades. Well, wait a minute. No, error processing. Okay, dependency problems leaving on. Yeah. This is, by the way, I've noticed this. For instance, there some of the programs I've installed. Because it's not really,
the full thing.
Linux, it's kind of, I get errors. So the dist upgrade does give you an error. And for some reason, you can't write to the dev PTS log. I don't know. Paul Theriot, now with some kind of Windows thing.
Yep. So you've changed your enterprise pick. Do you want me to go ahead with the?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
So my tip of the week is that if you're using Windows Live Mail 2012 against Outlook.com, you're going to need to find a new email application. I'm actually surprised we just found out about this now. In typical Microsoft fashion, unfortunately, I suspect what happened is people started complaining, and then someone said, oh, geez, we never told anyone about this. But as Outlook.com is being migrated to this new Office 365-based back end, this Windows Live Mail app, which dates back well, to Outlook Express, right? I mean, to I mean, this thing is an ancient relic from the past, a vestigial you know, thing from Windows, geez, 95 time frame. I mean, it's way old, but it used to be part of the Windows Essential suite. Well, still is, I should say. Windows Essentials is still kicking around, but they haven't updated it in years. And it works with, or it worked with Microsoft's, you know, Hotmail type services, MSN accounts and so forth. So as Outlook.com, as the successor to that stuff, moves to Office 365, it's not going to work anymore. So you can use Outlook, of course, part of Microsoft Office. You can use the Mail app. It's based, you know, built into Windows 10 if you have that. You can use the web client, which will be much improved, apparently, when you're upgraded. I'm going on faith there because I still haven't got the update. Still a point of contention. But Windows Live Mail will not be updated, which is consistent with what I've heard about everything in that suite, that basically it was abandoned a long time ago. They're just letting it hang out there for a while until they finally get rid of it. So,
can I add two things? Along.
You can, absolutely.
All right. So one is, even though they ran into the snafu with Windows Live Mail and Outlook.com, it's not going to make the migration any later than it already is. So they're still saying end of August. It doesn't mean this is
going to happen. How could it be any later?
And a reader this week helped us with figuring out, how do you know when you have the new Outlook.com? And it's really simple. Remember, we've been on the past shows, we've been like, do you have it? Do you not have it? How do you figure out if you have it? All the way to tell if you have the new Outlook.com is you look at the top of the app, and if it says Outlook Mail, you have the new one. If it says Outlook.com, you have the old one.
Right.
Well, so that's actually easy. A good way to know. Yep.
I'm running it right now.
I would hope most people, I mean, if you're using the web interface every day, it seems like you would notice this change.
It says Outlook.com on mine.
So you have the old one still.
Yeah, I still do too.
Mine says Outlook Mail.
Wow. It's infuriating.
Wow.
Sorry.
Wow.
Sorry.
Who do I got to pay to get the stupid upgrade?
And you know what? You're going to get it and you're going to be like, and that's it? Okay.
Yeah, right.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm going to get it and say, like, yeah.
Oh, well. When, what's the next update?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that was fine. All right. Good. Thank you, Paul and Mary Jo.
Yes. Yeah, I guess we had picked the same thing.
I know. That was funny. Without seeing that.
It. Yeah. Unusual.
Was a big story.
two quick app picks. Actually, they're both games. The first one is the AdDuplex mobile app pick of the week. Actually, it's interesting. If looking at their data, the version of WinZip for, you know, the universal Windows platform version of WinZip was actually higher than this one, but you have to pay to use it. So I'm not going to pick that one. So the second one, which is a much better choice, is Forza Motorsport 6, the Apex beta. This is the Windows 10 Universal Windows Platform app version of Forza, which is a gigantic racing game that's awesome and super realistic. This one is stripped down. You kind of go through a campaign. You go race to race. You have fewer choices for cars and all this kind of stuff. But it is awesome looking. And I'm not really into racing games, but this thing is really cool. The only downside is you really need a powerful PC to play it. If you go and look at the app, it lists the different graphics cards that they support. And I do not have one of them. So when this thing was released last week, I was staying with Raphael in Bellevue, and my laptop could not handle this. So he actually threw it on his. He's got a very powerful PC, as you might imagine, so I could experience it. It's a really, really cool game. Speaking of really, really cool games, sometime, I think it was last year, maybe even longer ago, one of my app picks was for Valiant Hearts, The Great War, which I had played at the time on the iPad, but it had just become available at that time for Xbox One. That game is now available on Windows 10, and it works on PCs and it works on mobile, which is crazy. This is one of the best games I've ever played, ever. It's fantastic. The basic download's free. It gives you the first mission, basically. I think the individual episodes are, I want to say, $2.99 a piece. You can buy the whole thing for $10. It's an awesome game. This is that World War I storyline. It's based on actual letters home from, you know, from the front during World War I. Great atmosphere, great music. The graphics are, you know, cartoonish, but they're beautiful. It's just a beautiful game. Awesome choice if you want to play games on Windows 10. Another great game to appear in Universal Windows Platform form. So neat.
Isn't it interesting how World War One is back?
I know. I'm actually, you're referring to the Battlefield thing, right?
Yeah.
That trailer looks awesome.
I know.
I'm definitely getting that. I mean, that's amazing. I almost feel like it's an April Fool's joke, you know? It's so good. And they're like, you didn't really think we were going to make a World War II, a World War One game, did you?
Trench warfare, it's never been so engaging.
Yes, exactly. Mm. There's been a growing crowd of people who sort of feel that maybe Call of Duty should go back to its roots and go back to World War II. And I love that stuff, but I'm not really sure that's such a great idea. But then I saw this trailer for Battlefield 1, and I thought, wait a minute, maybe. You know, if they could do it like this, it looks great.
Well, well, well. That brings us to our brand new Enterprise Pick of the Week, Mary Jo Foley.
Yes, this was originally going to be my pick, and then I switched it to the Outlook one. So now back to this one. The Enterprise pick has to do with Azure and Office 365, and this is for all you Canadians out there, all our listeners. As of this week, Microsoft now has expanded availability of Azure and Office 365 to two new regions. One is in Toronto, one is in Quebec City. So if you're in either of those regions now, you can access Azure and Office 365 locally. Next up, Seoul, South Korea, is also going to get its own Azure region. And as of right now, there are 32 announced Azure regions worldwide. 24 of them are generally available today. That gives Microsoft more global coverage than even Amazon with AWS, which is kind of surprising. So that's the Enterprise pick.
That's when you know you've made it, when you get your own Azure region.
Exactly. You get your own region.
Wow. We're big time now, baby. Code name of the week.
Yeah, this is a code name from 2014 that has reason to be in the news this week. The code name was Project K, the letter K. It stood for Katana. And if people think back to 2014, this is when Microsoft started talking about ASP.NET 5, although they didn't call it that at that time. They called it Project K. And the reason it's the pick this week is Microsoft's been doing a lot of kind of behind-the-scenes work on ASP.NET 5, which is now, by the way, called ASP.NET Core 1.0, just to keep it really not confusing. Maybe.
Keep it real, man.
Yeah, yeah. So ASP.NET 5 is now known as ASP.NET Core 1.0. And Microsoft finally published an updated timetable for when people are going to get this. People have been wondering. A lot of people thought they were going to get it at build. Instead, you are going to get the core runtime and the libraries of this in June, towards the end of June. And the tooling will be available in preview 2 at that point. So they separated out the tooling from the rest of it, and they're making it available on a slightly different time frame. Why has this thing been delayed? In short, it's because computer science is a hard problem. I'll just leave it there. There's a way more detailed explanation why, actually, on the blog where I link in my article to the blog where they talk about all the behind the scenes things that have happened and why they're changing, how they're approaching delivering the final bits of ASP.NET Core. But I think it's best you go read it there because it's very complicated to explain this. But that's Project K.
Project K, Special K.
Yep.
And I think this is the weirdest thing I've ever seen, but I'm glad you picked it up. Our new beer is America.
I did not
hate these people any more than I already do.
It's a very Colbert name. Ugh.
So you may have heard Budweiser is having its name changed to America.
Is it that was Budweiser is now America?
I thought that was a joke when I saw it.
No, it is not a joke.
Anheuser-Busch is the company that makes a beer called Budweiser.
Correct. And that beer, as of now,
is it going to be America Light, America with lime? Are we going to have all, or is it just Bud?
I don't know. I guess it's just America.
I want America Light.
Yes. It's called Canada, yeah. Leo.
Oh, yeah.
That's good. In honor of Budweiser doing this, I thought it would be nice to do a counter pick because, yes, you know, Budweiser's not my pick, right?
So, no, never.
Okay, thank God.
I said, let me pick a couple of Mole beers because that is actually a thing.
Well, Mole, you know, Mole, wait a minute. Mole is a chocolate, Mayan, chocolate, you know, spicy chocolate sauce.
Cinnamony sauce. Yes. Yeah. There are beers called Mole beers, which tend to be imperial stouts made with cinnamon, chilies. Sometimes tastes like chocolate.
Interesting.
I got to try one this week from a really small brewery in New York called Bacchus. They make one called Holy Mole.
That's a great name for a company, Bacchus. Yep. Bacchus beer. Bacchus.
Yep. And the Holy Mole was fantastic. What was kind of cool about it was you tasted the chili up front, and in the back you tasted cinnamon. So I don't know how they make that happen, but they did. And there are others. If you look for these, New Belgium.
Mexican food into it when you drink it? Like,
really? Exactly. Really?
Mm. Yeah. New Belgium has one too, which is being somewhat more widely distributed, called Coco Mole, so if you want to try it. But my point in making these the beer picks was, I said, it's time to try something new and spicy so that you can tear down that imaginary wall.
Yeah, baby.
Okay.
It's a beer so good, it tastes like America.
Exactly.
Like, brother. Lips of Faith.
Yeah, Paul and I have had some of those.
Lips of Faith is a series of beers, mostly sours.
Right.
There's some awesome Lips of Faith beers from New Belgium.
Beer makers like the pun, don't they?
They do.
They're big on the pun. Coca Mole, made with cocoa and spices.
Sounds good, right?
Have.
Yeah.
Right.
Actually, this would be great. You know, sometimes I'll do in the slow cooker, I'll do, like for corned beef, I'll do it in a beer. And this would be a great, like, beer to put in a corned beef slow cooker. I don't know what it tastes like when it's done, but
it better be great.
Yeah, I think it would be good. Mm-hmm. Cooking with beer. That's the new show.
That'd be a great
now
show.
You're cooking with beer.
Now you're cooking with beer. That concludes this show, this episode of Windows Weekly, Dad. What was it?
Our
the
guest
cheddar?
Sully
beef cheddar?
Steve-O.
We've touched on a lot of topics on this show.
I like that, though. This is what I like, the wide-ranging Windows Weekly.
Sure.
Paul Thorat.
Why do you call it Windows Weekly, Leo?
Because it's America. I'm going to call it America from now on, okay?
Oh, man.
America Weekly.
It's the America Podcast.
The America Podcast. How can one company just say, okay, that name? Somebody tweeted yesterday, isn't America like trademarked or something? No, it's not.
Awful.
Paul, the Vespucci guy ought to have done it way back when, but he didn't. So there you go. The show tastes like America. Twice as nice. Paul Thorat is at Thorat.com. Thurott.com. And he's got his great books available from the Miniature Press. Miniature Pony Press.
Still no.
What is it called?
Lean Pub.
Lean Pub.
Still almost. Not whatever you're saying. It's the other thing.
Leanpub.com. Don't go to Miniature Pony Press. That's
I mean, you can. It's probably good stuff over there.
leanpub.com for the field guides. Mary Jo Foley is at allaboutmicrosoft.com. That's her ZDNet blog where she covers the latest Microsoft news and files regularly. And we do this show regularly every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern time. That's 1800 UTC if you want to join in and participate. Tweet at us and chat at us. You can also do the on-demand version. They're always available at twit.tv/WW or subscribe in your Twit app or whatever you use to get your podcast, because we're everywhere. Thanks for being here, guys. We'll see you next week. Oh, no, next week's normal, right?
Yeah.
Actually, it might be a little moved.
Okay.
Because I think Google I.O. is next Wednesday.
Oh, yes.
So I think we'll probably be starting late, depending on how long Google Talks. Their keynote begins at 10.
I can't do it on... I'm going to be traveling on Thursday, but...
No, we'll do it Wednesday, but it'll be like 12 or 12:30 our time, 3 or 3:30 your time. Is that okay?
Yeah.
You can always tune in the stream and see. They say
a two-hour keynote. So what I'm going to do it as soon as the keynote wraps, we'll go right to Windows Weekly, and then do Twig after Windows Weekly. So yeah, I should have warned you. Yeah, I apologize. You are getting the warning now. Yeah.
Okay.
It's just going to be moved, pushed back slightly by Larry Page and company. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time
on Windows Weekly.